Hello and welcome to episode 194 of Nerd's Eye View for the week of July 29th.
It's the week of the 28th.
28th.
You will be listening to this on the 29th.
Okay. Well, that's all that matters. I am joined by Matt.
You've got some splaining to do, Lucy.
Yeah, there it is. Andrew.
How's it going?
And our lovely guest, Adam. Beautiful, beautiful. I'm Jordan. We have a bit of news, but a good chunk of the news is going to be about San Diego Comic-Con because our own Andrew went. Oh, yes, he did. We're going to have our box office top 10, our new releases on DVD, Blu-ray, and TVD.
See your doctor.
What?
I don't know what you just whispered.
See your doctor.
Yeah, see your doctor for
TVD-related.
Yeah, any TVD-related problems. We got our review of Lucy, which you should have got from the various hints. And then we go over what's coming out next week. And we do our Guess the Endings. Let's get into it, huh?
No.
Oh, I should scroll back up on this.
Yeah.
You should read the news now.
All right, yeah, I'm ready.
Get on it.
Legendary panel that Andrew missed at San Diego Comic-Con, a.k.a. the SDCC. What does that mean, Andrew?
Tell us.
Explain.
I kind of didn't mean for that to be like a joke, but it is, because Legendary is a film
studio,
production,
yeah,
studio company, whatever. And so it sounds like, oh, it's a great panel, but no, I'm talking about just the Legendary panel.
A little play on words. I see what you did there.
I didn't do that even on purpose.
This wasn't the Marvel panel?
No, I didn't. I went into Hall H only once, and that was for Tusk, but...
Ooh!
You going to talk about that later?
Yeah, we'll talk about
okay,
that.
Cool. Okay, cool.
But this news came out, and I think this is very interesting. Universal is going to release a film in 2016, in November of 2016, that is based on the concept of Skull Island, which is the island where King Kong is from.
Ooh!
And they're saying it's not really going to be a sequel or a reboot. It's just
kind of its own thing.
It's kind of its own thing, but also I think they're kind of aiming for like world building.
Oh, that's
which
cool.
Which is popular now with all the series going on, where it's not exactly sequels, but they're all within the same universe.
Do you think this might be a precursor to like maybe a King Kong show?
Well, not even a show, but I think maybe because on the island live like primitive people, dinosaurs, other creatures. So maybe an eventual meeting of like, you know, a Skull Island T-Rex movie, and then like King Kong versus T-Rex, like the old days.
Yeah, yeah.
But better, because the graphics are better, guys.
Yep.
So I think this could be very cool. And then Legendary is also the Godzilla people. So King Kong might fight Godzilla in the future. They might be trying to expand the universe that way.
That'd be crazy.
And they announced the different villains, or not villains exactly, but other creatures that are going to be in the next King Kong. Hold on, I'm trying to... Or not King Kong, Godzilla. Legendary announced.
They made Godzilla... All right, here's my question.
Yeah.
If it's going to be like a possible crossover, are they going to make... Did they say anything about making him bigger then? Because they made Godzilla huge.
King Kong was nowhere near that
thing. Well, maybe King Kong has a mama or papa who's mad that he's gone.
Okay.
Listen, anything can happen.
But, okay. Godzilla's freaking huge,
so
Andrew.
So the new monsters joining the Godzilla franchise will be Mothra, Ghidorah, and Rodan.
Nice.
Rodan's a pterodactyl-looking thing, right?
I believe so.
So I'm worried we're going to have another... Yep. I'm worried we're going to have another Amazing Spider-Man 2 on our hands, where there's just too many villains, too much going on.
Well, I would even go earlier and call it a Spider-Man 3 issue, but...
Oh.
Yeah. Because I think it almost worked in Amazing Spider-Man
2. I'm trying
2.
To use a contemporary example.
Yeah, Grandpa.
Because no one was alive in this podcast when that movie came out.
Seabiscuit.
Sure. Not alive.
Did you just say Seabiscuit?
Listen. No, I would almost say Amazing Spider-Man 2 almost made the villains work. But Spider-Man 3 totally just was like, oh, Sandman's super important now, guys.
He's all in your face.
15 minutes.
He's super important. He killed Ben. Right, guys?
Didn't he?
Yeah, it's dumb. It was grumble.
No, I hear you.
And the
You're
same
right.
thing with Venom. Venom was never named, and like it made no sense why he came to Earth when he didn't know trying to explain it at all.
They're just like, oh, everybody loves him, and we need to sell tickets.
Elektra and Goblin and all that, they gave him stories.
No, you're right. It tied together way more.
Yeah.
And made sense, I guess.
In a looser...
Yep.
Still loose. Still loosey.
But it wasn't like, we're going to drop this character. At least there was reasons for them being there. Mm-hmm. You're right. In Spider-Man 3, they were just like, hey, everybody's coming to town.
Yeah, I still... I still think it's dumb that in Amazing Spider-Man 2, he dropped a... Green Goblin already had pumpkin bombs.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, this is my identity now. Yeah. Good thing I pre-made these pumpkin bombs.
I'm just this now.
Yeah.
They were in the pocket of my costume. That was
They were actually on the wall when he went into that room, but it's cool.
Why were they shaped like pumpkins already?
Because...
And colored like
his
pumpkins.
His dad's crazy.
That's...
He is
they're
crazy.
All...
Let's
crazy.
Talk more about Legendary.
Please do.
Guillermo del Toro's
yes.
Crimson
film,
Peak.
Crimson Peak. It's a gothic romance, and he talked about it a little. It has Tom Hiddleston, Jessica Chastain, Charlie Hunnam, Mia Wasikowski. It's an R-rated horror
Two
film.
Two out of the four, yes. Please.
With romance and craziness. So it sounds like a good time.
You mean a great time?
Yeah.
Because it's written by him.
Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just reading an article from Variety right now.
Oh, my God.
Is Rim 2 coming up?
That was announced.
He's got so many projects right now.
But he's only going to produce that, right? I believe. That's what I heard a while ago.
He's got Hellboy 3. He's got At the Mountains of Madness. There's a whole bunch of
And also at this panel, Michael Mann showed up because he has a new film called Black Hat, originally called Cyber. It's about hacking or something.
Of course.
Source code.
No, it's called
Michael Mann's cyber thriller Black Hat.
What was that one with Harrison Ford?
Cyber crime thriller.
Firewall.
Yeah, in Asia, and cast Chris Hemsworth as the lead.
Hacker?
He's a man said of Chris Hemsworth, he's a real regular fella.
Yeah, he is.
Fucking love
that
quote.
Look at that Norse god.
Can we just
regular
put that?
Fella?
No, this is Chris. Wait, which one's the one?
Chris is
the baby Hems.
Baby.
Oh, the baby Hems.
Yeah,
he's the one in the Expendables.
They still look like they're both. From
which Hems is
Valhalla?
The Thor?
Liam Hemsworth is Thor, correct?
Oh no, yeah. We've got that so fucking
Hemsworth?
Backwards. Liam is baby.
Yeah.
Liam is
Chris is Thor. Chris
is Thor.
Okay, well, we're just all dumb.
Look
right
at that
now.
Norse god.
There's too many Hems.
I told you.
Quote Jordan Scott.
Shit.
On the Nerd's Eye.
They're all from Valhalla. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
Valhalla's going to rise. I hear it, guys.
Australian gods.
So I didn't go to that panel, but that's a lot of good news, a lot of cool news coming out of it. What's next?
Oh, you need me to do something?
Yeah, you got to figure out the next news.
Ant-Man's villain isn't Magnifying Glass Man.
No, he's not.
He isn't?
At the
Swordfish.
Marvel...
That's the movie I was trying to think of with hackers.
You couldn't just say Naked Halle Berry movie?
Yeah, there it is.
Anyway, they made some announcements at the Marvel panel about the details of the plot for Ant-Man, including who the villain will be.
I think we all saw it's coming.
Huh?
Or at least someone who read the comics, never mind.
Well, this is not... I wouldn't call this a big surprise, but I wouldn't call it, you know... It's not news. This is news. Corey Stoll
Who's
is going to play... you'd have to see him. He was in House of Cards? Question mark?
And... Jordan Scott has left us silent.
Hold on.
I thought you watched it, so I thought you'd know right away.
I'm looking for his picture. Yes, he did.
Okay.
Oh, he's great in House of Cards.
Yeah, I kind of remember seeing a scene or two.
Yeah.
So Corey Stoll is going to play Yellow Jacket, who the details, it's something like Michael Douglas is Hank Pym, and his company is now being run by Corey Stoll after he kind of took it away from him.
Oh.
So that's why Hank Pym enlists the help of Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Yellow Jacket is the type of bee.
Yeah.
Or wasp.
Wasp.
And it's also confirmed now that Evangeline Lilly will be playing the daughter of Dr. Hank Pym. Yeah. And some sources, it's weird. Some sources list her name as Hope Pym, and others list it as Hope Van Dyne, Van Dyne being her mother's maiden name. So it's a little unclear on whether or not it really is his daughter. But
I thought it was interesting that they picked, because I know in a lot of the comics, Hank Pym's a lot older than some of the other people. But I've seen some cartoons also where Hank Pym, I've also read some comics like during Civil War, Hank Pym's the same age as, you know, Mr. Fantastic, Tony Stark, and all them around then.
I think they're because comics are able to have a floating timeline.
Yeah.
And so in a movie, they're trying to have a sustained timeline. And so they want to have it where Ant-Man came early on, and now this is a new Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And so they're playing with that idea of generations in the same way that Captain America kind of did.
That's
where we're going to see in the TV show Agent Carter, we're going to see what else happened during Captain America's heyday.
When he was sleeping.
Well, before he, right up until he got into the ice, and then what happened now that he's in the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like a...
She got old and had some kids.
It's a neat... I think it's a neat idea. I think it's great playing with the generational look of it all. And it's, you know, and also I think...
Because it worked for Zorro with Anthony
Zorro!
Hopkins and Antonio Banderas.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
Look, There should be more of those.
There should be more of those.
Oh, I heard about this is off topic, but a comic book series coming out, crossover between Django and Zorro.
What? Oh, you mean that article that I wrote too. Because I was at the panel where Quentin Tarantino was talking about that?
Adam. Oh, sorry. Can you hear me?
Okay. What?
Yeah, so Django and Zorro might meet up.
Zorro.
They will.
That could be interesting.
They are. That's coming. Yeah. In
Django and Zorro?
Django and Zorro.
And in fact, at the panel...
eating churros?
You know, Quentin Tarantino
said... I'd want him to meet.
Said he, when he talked to Jamie Foxx said, why can't we make that a movie with Antonio Banderas? Why can't we do that?
Right?
And Quentin
I would see that. Yeah, I don't
like that.
I would see that.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx wanted to do it.
Don't
Jamie Foxx is in.
Antonio Banderas, he's still got years left. He could do it.
Well, no,
he could definitely do it.
The interesting thing is, in the comic series, it's going to be an old Zorro.
Yeah.
Because of the way that the timeline works with Zorro.
That totally makes sense.
You know, ever since I saw Blackthorn, I'm totally into something like that.
I would love to see that.
Well, he's still action-y, but he's just older.
Yeah. It's okay.
Wait, who did that Zorro movie? Who directed it?
Michael Mann.
I was going to say Rodriguez, but I know that's super wrong.
Wouldn't there be, like, rights they'd have to get and whatnot for Tarantino to use Zorro?
No, through the comics, the
Mask
Dynamite
of
Comics
Zorro
has the
was
rights.
Made by Martin Campbell.
Told you.
Is that the guy who he did a Quantum of Solace? No. Am I right?
I'll let you know in a second. He did Casino Royale.
Casino Royale.
GoldenEye.
And GoldenEye.
Oh, right. He does the...
And Green Lantern.
No, but because he did both of those, he kind of became like he's the relaunching Bond guy.
There it is.
So we got way off topic there.
But I'm excited.
Did you know San Diego Comic-Con was this past week?
Was it? I've got tons of news here, guys.
Our own Andrew Lindy went to San Diego Comic-Con.
Tell us what
Comic-Con.
You saw, what you heard, what you ate, what you felt.
What do you want to know? Do you want to look through the book? I have the book.
Everything.
I don't care about your book. What's
going on
personally.
With Guillermo del Toro? Mm-hmm.
Everything.
I want a detailed description of everything you saw right now. We've got time.
Okay, here we go. Day one.
Day one. Hour one.
I woke up and it was the cold bite of the morning air on my cheek.
This Martin Campbell guy also did Edge of Darkness. I like that movie.
So I made it a priority on Thursday to go see the community panel. So I was there for every single panel that came before it.
Of course, that's what you have to do.
And that was in a bigger room. That was in Ballroom 20. I think the second largest room.
Ballroom Blitz?
Ballroom Blitz.
And so I was there. The first panel was 24. Kiefer Sutherland was there.
Nice.
I have not watched any of 24, but Kiefer Sutherland is a great guy.
Did he talk about... being Snake?
Being who?
Snake.
Oh, somebody asked him a question about that, and he said it was a really interesting experience where they put all the little LED things on his face, uh-huh. and they get all of that, and then they do LEDs on his body to get his body movement.
He's old Snake in the Metal Gear series. He's taking over. There's been one voice actor for the entire run of the Metal Gear series, and now this one, they changed to Kiefer Sutherland.
I mean, he didn't
so
really have
there was,
much...
So there was a lot of hoopla about it, and then they put out a pregame to the actual game called Ground Zeroes, and everyone is upset because he says, like, 5 sentences in the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
And so no one really got a feel for how the new voice actor would be.
Hmm. Well, it's also motion capture.
Yes.
So that's all him.
Oh, yeah,
as
it's
well.
All him.
He said he kind of joked that it's kind of like that's the dream of writers. You can take actors out of the whole equation and just make them.
Mm-hmm.
See, he said like in 10 years, this is going to be old technology and we're all going to be doing something else.
Yeah, we don't need humans anymore.
Then I think after that was Under the Dome. I can look for sure.
Yeah, look.
What is this Under the Dome?
Does anyone watch Under the Dome?
My parents do, so that means I don't.
Yeah, the guy who played Hank on Breaking Bad is on it, and he was there.
Yeah, I know. He's good in the show. I've seen
Hank Schrader
stuff when I've walked by. Yep.
Yeah.
That's Detective Hank Schrader to you.
No, it's not. It's
Sergeant.
OSAP or whatever he's called. ASAP or ASAP.
No, he doesn't work for them.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. So he was a delight on the panel. The others I didn't really care about because I didn't know who they were, and the show looked kind of dumb. And because it's now, at this point, it's because it's entering a second season, it's completely different from the book.
Yeah.
But Stephen King apparently loves it. He's not, like,
nice.
he's directing the first episode of the second season.
Who said that? Who said that he loves it?
All the people in the cast.
Oh,
they said, like, they even, one of the writers or producers was saying that he loves when they kill a character that like is not supposed to die in the book in a certain way. He loves when they just they mess around.
Oh no, you could I could see Stephen King.
He really
that
enjoys
sort of
that, and they're saying it's crazy how like normal he is for writing such dark and twisted things.
He's a strangely normal person.
Yeah.
He's a Boston Red Sox fan. They're as normal as it gets.
When you get hit by a car, it brings you.
Yeah,
back
he did
to
a
normality.
Lot of drugs. He got hit by a car, and now he's great. Then I got to see, which I wrote an article for Agents of Guard about this next thing. I got to see a world premiere of a new TV show for CBS called Scorpion.
Ooh.
What's okay. that about, Andrew?
It's
is
a hacking,
rock in this?
It's a hacking TV show.
Is this about that based, Robert Ludlum?
No, it's based on a real guy. There's a real guy who's like one of the top 20 smartest people in the world. He has like the highest IQ.
Whoa.
And it's like based on his life of like helping the government stop terrorist attacks and other kinds of things like that.
So it's a it's a combination of A Beautiful Mind and Lucy?
Well, no, not Lucy.
I know.
How many episodes before that gets canceled?
You know, I'm hoping at least it'll get a season.
Okay.
It has Catherine McPhee is in it as just a regular lady.
Isn't the singer?
Yeah. She's a singer turned actress. I'm a big fan of hers now because I liked Smash.
What does she sing?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. That one is one of my favorites. I sing it all the time.
But that show I thought it looked pretty good. But it's got a bunch of kind of unknowns, and then Catherine McPhee. Oh, and Robert Patrick is the
of course
you know, T-1000. He's the
of
old he's the old FBI agent or whatever who has to
the grizzled
who recruits the guy. He's the one who originally found him when he hacked a thing when he was like 6 years old, and now he's like.
So this is Chuck, but real life.
Yeah, a little better. A little better than that.
So this is like Die Hard 4, but it's not John McClane's son.
So this is like The Fifth Element, but not with Bruce Willis or Mia Djokovic.
So this is
Djokovic.
Like A Beautiful Mind.
It's not futuristic
Lucy.
At all. It's supposed to be like
Djokovic.
It's supposed to be realistic hacking and all that. You know, it was a fun time.
Nice.
What happened on minute 37 of day one?
Rain. I don't really remember Rain. None of us watch Rain.
What is Rain?
That's
what
a CW show about kings and queens, but they're teenagers and sexy.
Oh, never mind. Nope, don't care anymore.
It's basically Tudors, but teenagers.
Don't care
Teenage
anymore.
Tudors.
Nope.
And then there was the community panel.
What's happened on the community?
They didn't really have a lot of news, except that they started writing.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're not going to... The episodes probably won't be out until beginning of next year.
How many people said Yahoo?
A few.
Okay.
They had a really great, like, supercut, you know, remembrance type of, like, a hype video.
Right.
Where it just, like, cut clips together to make it look really cool and happy and exciting. And
you were
so
excited,
it got everybody
huh?
excited. Yeah. But they had no footage, nothing to talk about, really. Just,
Did they, like, next year, like, early next year or late next year?
Probably early.
Yeah, like springish.
Yeah,
maybe.
They weren't willing to say an absolute date, but they said definitely not until after Christmas.
Yeah,
even. So it's gonna be a while.
Yeah, well, that's when Hollywood shuts down.
But that's fine. But yeah, it's 13 episodes. They say they're not gonna let you know the fact that they're on the internet and they can do whatever they want like make them do crazy things. They're gonna still try and keep the natural flow of the show. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna you know make it weird.
Did you worry about
just
that
on purpose? You know, I didn't really care. I trust Dan Harmon. He has a vision for the show, and I think he's going to make it come to pass.
What happened? Any word on the movie?
He hinted right at the end. Somebody asked, what about Troy? And he said, you know, a pirate rescue. That sounds kind of exciting, like it should be a movie.
Oh.
That's what he said. So.
Did the whole entire audience just do what I did?
Yes. So it was really exciting. And the people on the panel, it was Gillian Jacobs, Joel McHale, Jim Rash, Dino Stamatopoulos, Dan Harmon, and Chris McKenna.
Nice.
So it was a good panel. And Jim Rash is always funny. He's the dean.
Yeah. Hey.
Very funny. So that was that. That was day
one. Hold on. Tell your Dan Harmon story.
What, that I saw him on the street?
And you just said, whatevs.
Well, no, I said to Benson, why don't we say something to him? And Benson said, he's quite literally the most accessible celebrity for us because we can go to Harmontown every Sunday and see him there.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I guess you're right.
What was he wearing? Is he married yet? No.
He's engaged. He's getting married later this year.
And was she with him?
Yes. Okay. In fact, we saw her separate from him twice.
Ooh.
And I saw Spencer, the dungeon master from Harmontown, once. Or actually, maybe twice. I don't remember.
Did you give him a high five?
No, he was just walking. He was with a friend.
Bye bye, Spencer. Boom, and just keep on going. This is Comic Con, man.
I was on my phone. I was busy.
Of course, too cool. Got to be on the phone. What else?
Are you ready for? That's all for Thursday.
That's all, folks.
I think. Yeah, I don't. I didn't go to the rest of any of these other panels. Yeah, so that was it for.
I love how he has a little notepad here. It's adorable.
The rest of
it's a little tiny, really cute. He looks like he's a high school journalist.
I made a list of all the panels that I wanted to go to.
Lindy Pocket.
All right. Then on Friday, Evangeline Lilly put out a children's book. And so I thought, I'll go to a panel to see Evangeline Lilly. And yeah, some people did ask about Lost, but not like there's no news. I mean,
it's done. No one's found it?
No.
Okay.
And I wrote an article for Agents of Guard about that. So if you want to hear more about the Squicker Wonkers, that's the name of that children's book. You should read that article.
AgentsofGuard.com. Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Funimation.
Where did I go? I went to Ballroom 20.
What is in Ballroom 20?
I made it in for the Bones panel. I didn't really pay attention because I'm not...
I love how you go to these... I don't know what that is. But I'm going
to
go.
I was there waiting. You have to sit through these other panels to get the one that you want. Anyone watch Bones?
I've watched a couple episodes.
I've seen a couple episodes.
I like David Boreanaz.
I like her younger David sister's Borealis. Work better.
Yeah. I wanted somebody to ask if she was ever going to come back to the show. Remember, they had one episode where the other sister...
I know, she came.
Zoe was on, and she played like a distant cousin. She's probably too busy with New Girl.
Mm-hmm. A little bit too busy.
You mean David Boreanaz was there? Was he there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They look good?
It was David and whatever her name is.
Girl.
Deschanel.
What's something the... Deschanel.
Yeah.
Not Zoe.
Oh, her sister. Yeah.
Yeah, her older sister.
Janice.
Nope.
Courtney.
This
Olivia.
Is a dumb game. I'm out. So
Sky.
Then, I don't remember. I'm going to have to look and see. Oh, I kind of remember. Entertainment Weekly does these really cool panels where they get together actors who aren't all on one show, but they kind of find a theme
Emily.
Amongst them. Thank
Emily.
You.
I said that.
Emily Deschanel.
And so they called this panel Brave
Sisters.
Brave New Warriors. Mm-hmm. It was actors who kind of got big on television. And so they had, I can't remember his name, Shane from Walking Dead.
Okay.
Not Shane. Yeah, the one
the
who was
guy.
The deputy.
The main guy. Yeah.
No, not the
Rick.
No,
not
the
Rick.
One, the one who slept with Rick's wife.
Yeah, he was there.
Wow, way to ruin it.
Freddie.
Fucking first couple episodes.
Freddie Highmore.
You mean they're zombies?
Freddie Highmore was there.
Who's Freddie Highmore?
Fingered.
No, he's a child. He was a child actor, and now he plays He's on Bates Motel. He's Norman Bates.
Ah, that kid.
Uh-huh.
Or that guy. Vince Vaughn, yes.
And,
we
should have remembered
boom, boom, boom.
But they were just, they were people who were on new TV shows. One of the guys, someone from...
So what was the whole point of the panel, then?
It was just they got big on TV. Like, they got famous on television.
Oh.
Like, Freddie Highmore has a big new show, and that one guy...
They
got,
started young, but they're still continuing.
Yeah, well, not even
now.
Starting young. It's just they're new to the business. Like, the guy who was on The Walking Dead, he wasn't young, but... He got famous on The Walking Dead, and
he
now
was
he's
in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, he was
had
in Wolf of
Wall Street. Decent part in that.
So
he's in that new Fury movie too.
Yeah, he recounted how the first Walking Dead panel ever was before the show even started. But when he walked out, everyone booed him because of who he is in the comic.
Oh
yeah. So he's like, that was a weird experience to already have like people have preconceived notions of my character. Before he
I mean,
even
he pretty
did
much
it.
Played the same character.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, he was exactly who he was.
No,
in the
but
comic.
He thought that was crazy. Like that
yep.
was such fan dedication.
Mm-hmm.
So they all talked about that kind of stuff.
That's a new experience, I imagine, for an actor because
yeah.
when you're working on something that isn't based on a beloved property, then you kind of have a clean slate before people make an assumption about you. So mm-hmm. that's pretty cool.
And then we went to the Marvel TV panel, which started with talking about Agent Carter.
Mm-hmm.
The new show that's the spinoff of the Marvel one-shot.
You mean
same
get,
name?
Get Agent Carter.
Yeah, which that's Hayley Atwell, who was in both Captain Americas.
Yep.
And it's basically, if you didn't watch the Marvel one-shot, in the Marvel one-shot, she's working for S.H.I.E.L.D. No, they don't call it S.H.I.E.L.D. at that time. She's working for whatever they call it at that time.
Yeah.
And she's the only one in the
Pre-S.H.I.E.L.D.
office. And she gets a call to go take care of a thing, and they want an agent, and she's not quite an agent yet, but she goes out and takes care of it and kicks ass. And when she comes back, her boss is, like, going to get her in trouble. And then Howard Stark himself calls her up and says, you're going to help me lead this new company called S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nice.
And so at the end of the Marvel One-Shot, she is one of the founding people of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so Agent Carter will be about her adventures in S.H.I.E.L.D. I know, but it's in the One-Shot.
You're in the One-Shot.
Exactly. So, that's going to be really cool. I don't know if that's like a full series or just a miniseries. They didn't have much to say about it. The writers or directors or producers or whatever were both, the ones present were both women. I don't remember their names. So someone, of course, came up and asked, oh, you're women writing for a show that's about a woman. Are you going to have other woman characters? And so they kind of hinted that they might have other, like, female, not maybe superheroes or maybe villains of some sort in the show.
Cool.
And so I don't know, given that time period, who they're going to pull from the Marvel roster.
Well, there's I know they had her in the Wolverine movie, but what's her name?
Snake Woman?
Yeah, Madame Hydra.
That wasn't in the Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
Well, she was just called, like, Venom or something.
Yeah, but that's the same character. They just didn't call her that.
Oh, well, okay. No, I don't know who they're going to have.
Shut up! Fight him already, jeez. Or kiss him, one or the other, jeez.
And then after that, they only had that for like 15 minutes, and then they brought out the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel of cast members.
Yeah.
And they really didn't have anything much to say, and it was kind of dumb because they went straight to panel, like the getting questions from the audience. And of course, half of them were kids, and they were all like, this is kind of a spoiler, but they're
Andrew
like,
hates kids time.
Are you caught up? They were all mad about
the TV show.
Yeah.
I'm
caught up. You can spoil it for
there's
me.
An agent who turns. And so everyone was like,
damn
how
you,
did
Nick
you
Fury.
Feel when this agent turned bad? So that was like every question. And it was dumb. It was the worst.
All right.
How young are you talking about here?
I come...
Like,
younger than
12
13.
Year olds?
Yeah. They were 10.
All right,
10,
so I come whatever. From a strange position because I've never been to Comic-Con. But I'm a firm believer that in conventions, when they have Q&A sections, they need someone pre-screening the questions.
They do. That's the crazy thing. They do pre-screen
so
the questions.
So someone let that through.
Yes. Multiple times.
I don't understand. Or whoever was the screener was lied to repeatedly.
Maybe. Because although I don't have many experiences in Hall H, I hear that they're much more strict on the questions in Hall H.
Okay.
But this is just Ballroom 20. It's still the second largest room, but it's not as big or important, I guess.
Okay.
Because I had the experience last year in Indigo Ballroom, which is like the third largest room, where they wouldn't let me ask a question because it wasn't on point to whatever they wanted to sell or whatever the fuck.
I remember you telling me that story. That was dumb.
Whatever. And these people get up there and they go, will you sign my thing? And I'm like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it's rude, right? Am I crazy?
No, it was rude.
It's rude. Like when
you're
someone
crazy.
You're crazy.
Well, you're always crazy.
There are people who wait in line to get things signed, and then there's these people who jump to the front of a question line and say, "Oh, I have a real question," and then they get up and they say, "Will you sign my thing?
Is it Wednesday?"
Yeah. Oh boy, there was I was in some panel where somebody asked a question like that.
They were that high.
Not is it Wednesday, but like
they were so far lucid that.
That was another day, and it was a TV show panel, and some kid asked, "Oh, I'll tell that story." It's oh boy, that's a doozy. But so this Marvel TV was, Derek, if you listen to Popsicles, you'll find, or even the Benview Megacast, you'll find that, Derek was disappointed in this Marvel TV panel because there was no new footage and there was no talk of Daredevil or the other Netflix TV shows coming.
And what was the point of it then?
Did they even talk about Flash?
No, that's not Marvel.
Digital.
You're right. That is not Marvel. Don't listen.
That was just
ever.
A test, and you
don't,
passed.
Don't listen to me ever.
I didn't go
Welcome
to the DC
to the
TV
Eye
thing
because
it conflicted with, I think, the show that I went to go see. So, yeah, the Marvel TV panel didn't have that much new going on. They revealed some characters who are going to show up, but I didn't recognize them, really. They're out there on the internet if you really care to go look. One's like the head of Stripe. It's the British form of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
And then another one was like a Hydra villain, but he's not really a villain. He's just like he's a peon of Hydra, but he's like a named one. And then somebody said a superhero's name, but I didn't see what her powers were online. I don't even know if she had powers for that matter. All right. So that was
she
Friday.
She has inner strength.
Oh, Friday.
That is a
I
power.
Also. So I took a break and then I went to go see Tusk. Which, because of Brendo and Derek being former Smod Castle people, which is Kevin Smith's podcast network, they had an in. So we got to sit, like, pretty close to the stage. And Kevin Smith talked about his experience on the Star Wars set, which he talked about in other places.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave it a little more, I think, detail than what I'd read in other places, where he got to walk on the Millennium Falcon. And he was like, when he got to the set, he was like, oh, okay, you know, my expectations are under control. And then he took like 3 steps onto the Millennium Falcon and he was a child again. Like, he was like, this is real. I am in a real place now where the Millennium Falcon is. Like, yep. It's
the place everybody wants to go.
Yeah. But then he showed the new trailer for Tusk, which was already online, I believe, which that's the film with Justin Long, Haley Joel Osment, Genesis Rodriguez, and what's the name of the guy? It's the he was also in Red State with Kevin Smith, the preacher guy from Red State. He's kind of the villain
Michael
in
Parks?
Tusk. Michael Parks.
Yeah.
Was that a poll or did you look that
up? I pulled that.
Nice.
No, I mean I pulled it from the internet.
Oh, you suck.
So
got you good, you fucker.
I'm not super into horror, but horror. You know, it was a good
Who's
trailer.
Who's not into horror?
It's fine.
Yeah, I love horses.
But then also Haley Joel Osment and Genesis Rodriguez were there to answer questions and stuff. And it's
That's
weird
cool.
seeing Haley Joel Osment on a screen.
Fat
or not?
You mean in person?
I don't know. I'm not getting anything here. Yeah, I didn't see.
I'm looking up who Genesis Rodriguez is because I don't know who she is.
Is it in the document?
Yeah.
Okay.
Comment.
You should know Genesis Rodriguez was in the old.
That movie with Jason Bateman, Identity Thief. Casa de mi Padre.
She's
the main lady.
She's the lady in Casa de mi Padre.
Oh, yeah. Oh yes, please.
They didn't have any time for questions. Otherwise, yes, I totally would have went up there and been like, hey, what's
what
how
was
is Casa
like
de mi Padre?
Being on set for 2 seconds with Gael Garcia Bernal and Diego Luna, because I want to know. Did you ask that, Andrew? Did you think of me?
No.
Our friendship decreased to 30% now.
And then if you want to hear Benson's story, he went to a Thrilling Adventure Hour panel. I think that's on the Benview Megacast. I don't know where that's dropping, but check out the other Benview shows.
Where or when?
Either one.
Mm.
I don't know. Josh has it, and he runs Pillage Cast, so they might drop it there. And they're probably going to drop it on Radio Brendaman.
Oh, my God.
So check that out. Benson has a great story from the Thrilling Adventure Hour panel.
I don't believe you.
Ooh, nice.
I don't even like Benson.
So then Saturday.
Who's Benson?
Matthew?
No, it's only it's Matt now.
You know, I thought you were talking about me for a second, Andrew, and you're not.
Saturday was the day that I got to see the Simpsons panel.
Oh,
with the creators, Al Jean, Matt Groening,
Matt
Hell the other
Groening.
People, the other people. I don't remember all their names. I'm sorry. And that was cool. They talked about the Futurama crossover, and they showed the opening credit sequence for that.
Uh-huh.
They talked about a little bit.
What was
the
opening credit sequence?
It was the Futurama opening credit sequence. It looked exactly the same as that, except they put in Simpsons things.
Okay.
It
Sorry,
was really cool.
I was reversed.
Like,
I was
you know how in Futurama, it has like a spaceship flyby and it spells out Futurama?
Yeah.
A spaceship flyby and it spells out Simpsons. And then they did the dun, 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 dun. But Homer was singing it. It was great. That was a lot of fun. And then they showed a segment from the Treehouse Horror? What's it called?
Treehouse of Horror? 75, I believe it is.
It was called Clockwork Yellow, and it was a Clockwork Orange, but this is the great part. It was Mo. Mo was the guy. Mo
yes!
Sounds about right.
And it started when he was a kid, and then it goes until he becomes regular, like the age that you know him in the show.
I want it.
He teams up, and Homer's one of his droogs. It's fantastic.
It's
really great. And I think it's... what makes it so great is that it does use Clockwork Orange as an outline.
As a jumping.
But then it also is able to expand it in a way that it makes sense, is great, is funny, and it adds more jokes on top at the end that are not related to Clockwork Orange, but are fantastic.
It was the whole entire thing?
They pretty much do the whole plot of A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, nice.
In 10
minutes.
They
show you.
They showed the whole Clockwork Yellow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's just one segment of Treehouse of Terror.
What I like about that is... I hope the other two of that episode, the other two shorts of that episode, are not because the last two or three they've always been like, oh well, now this one's a Twilight Treehouse Horror, now this one's a Harry Potter one, it's all just kind of I feel like there's nothing new, nothing inventive, nothing creative. Like some of them are kind of funny, but I like that this is something a little bit older.
Yeah, this one I'd seen, I don't remember which one, there was a year or two ago when you and Tom talked about the Treehouse of Horror on the show.
Yeah.
And I think I watched that one for that purpose, but I wasn't impressed by that, but this was really funny.
Like, yeah,
this really worked for me.
I've been watching for the last 3 or 4 years, and they haven't been really good.
So that
I
was.
I haven't watched a new Simpsons episode in like almost 6 years.
Just I watched the Treehouse of Horror for the sake of history.
Tradition.
Yeah, and they talked a little bit about the character that's going to die during the Family Guy crossover episode, but we still don't know
you
who.
Mean Futurama.
No, it's the Family Guy.
There's a Family
They're
Guy
crossing
one
over
too.
Family Guy and Futurama. Cyprus.
Breaking news to Adam Cleese.
Adam's losing his mind.
He's going to have a stroke. A Cleese stroke.
Tom's really mad about it. And you know what? I kind of agree.
I agree
Family
with
Guy,
Tom.
I think it's, yeah, that's not what they should be crossing over with.
It's if it's Groundkeeper's, Groundkeeper, if it's Groundskeeper Willie, I will cry.
Me too.
I will cry many tears.
Grease me up, woman!
I sat through.
Bonjour, you cheese-eating surrender monkeys.
If you're hearing any wind, it's because Matt's in front of an open window because it's hot.
I'm just breathing really heavy.
Anyway,
that's awkward.
My reason for sitting, I didn't really care about The Simpsons, but it was great that I got to see it. And I wanted to see Once Upon a Time, which was right after it.
God, you're such a
I know
Nancy.
I'm the only person who cares about the show, even though now I kind of hate it.
No one else in the world, I think it's just you, right?
It's just me.
Okay.
Me and people's wives.
Was it nothing but women in that panel?
No, but...
I mean, in the audience?
No. And of course, that was another one where all the Q&A was like people asking like about characters, how their character felt.
Oh,
it was like dumb stuff like that. But the weird thing was Yvette Nicole Brown moderated this panel.
Really?
But she wasn't on the community panel just 2 days earlier. It was like a weird thing where I was like, oh, she's here.
She's on that show?
No. Well, she did voice Ursula when Ursula appeared.
Oh, that sounds fun.
But that was for about 5 minutes.
She has a good voice.
So Once Upon a Time, they showed a little bit of Anna and Elsa coming in from Frozen.
I like the way Elsa looks.
We talked about this last time I was here. I don't want to talk about Once Upon a Time anymore.
It's a good show for me.
So the most important part of that sentence was, for me.
I think it just said, shut up, Adam.
But here's another thing. They showed another great, like, totally exclusive thing. They showed a clip from the show. Regina goes to a padded cell, opens the door, and she says, I need you. And it's the magic mirror played by Giancarlo Esposito.
Ooh.
Who he played in the first season.
It's my
and
brother.
Then he left, and he was on like Breaking Bad and stuff, and now he's back. And I love it. I love
Wasn't
his character.
Wasn't he on Revolution? Too?
Yes, he was on Revolution. Yeah. He had a lot of things, but now he's back, and I love it. He was a really great character because he started as a genie. And then he got trapped in a mirror. Like, he had a whole arc through different things. It was great.
Yeah, my brother. Gosh, please.
I thought it was your uncle.
No. Yeah, I can see
well,
the
my brother's uncle.
Okay.
I can see the resemblance.
Yeah.
Your dad?
We have the same hair genes.
My brother's uncle.
My brother's uncle.
So, yeah, it's...
Giancarlo Esposito is going to be in a live-action Jungle Book
You're not
Christopher Walken.
Okay.
Sit up,
is that
young
the one
man.
With Idris Elba?
Teach him how to use a microphone.
I don't think it is.
Tell me what to do.
Hold anyway, that was too. That really got me excited when I saw that. Oh, man.
Is his voice really good for that? Because I know he's got a good
voice. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And it's just his acting is really good for that. Like, he's just really good in that role.
He's really stoic. I don't know how tall... Jordan, can you Google how tall he is? I feel like he's 5'11", but he's very stoic. He has, like, a very strong presence.
Yeah.
And I like that about him.
He's basically... He works as a pawn of the Evil Queen... Mm-hmm. Essentially, and this is he was kind of in love with her in the show. That was kind of the gimmick, and so he would obviously come back and serve her at any time. He took the fall for a murder that she did. That's why he left, but he's coming back. I love it.
Nothing from Jordan. Okay. Moving on.
So I was gonna go to something else. What was I gonna go? I don't remember what, but I ended up going to see the Brian Lee O'Malley panel that day, which was in a very small room, but it still wasn't filled. It was like a weird thing where, like, this is a Comic-Con, this is a convention about comics, and people are not going to see the people who create comics.
I think that's the sad part about it.
Yeah, it's, like, super easy to get into comics panels because people are there for the movies and television. And he has a new book out called Seconds, which I didn't know what it was about until Benson told me, and it sounds great.
What's it about?
It's a woman who's 20.
Are you gassy, by the way? You
yeah,
got a little gas going on?
There's a woman who's, she's 29 years old. She's running a restaurant. You know, she feels like she's successful. But then one day she finds like a, somehow like she wants to fix something. And so she gets a note with a mushroom, and it says, if you write down what you want to change in your life and you take this mushroom and go to bed, when you wake up, it'll be fixed.
Like, what do you do with the mushroom?
You eat it.
Oh, you eat it.
But then she wakes up, and it's whatever she wrote down that was a problem, it gets fixed. That she thinks went wrong in her life.
Ooh, I like it.
And so Benson told me it escalates to the point where she goes to find where the mushrooms are.
But it's only one one mushroom and one note.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all she... I don't remember how she finds it or gets it the first time.
That sounds cool, though.
But it escalates to the point where she wants to just find the source and continue to fix what she thinks went wrong in her life. Because she's like 29, but she's hanging out with a bunch of 21-year-olds. So she's like, oh, my life... You know, they have their whole life ahead of them. Like, they're early... You know, they're starting out, and she feels like she's almost done, even though she's not even 30 yet.
Wow.
So, and he... Brian Lee O'Malley said that kind of... Came,
I can feel that.
It kind of came from his own life. Like, he's now like 35 or something. And he's like, he started writing it a couple of years ago, you know, thinking about regrets and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's great. He said, someone asked if that he would be willing to do a seconds movie. And he said, sure. And then he said in the future, he wants to continue to do like graphic novels like this, but he also wants to write short stories. So I think that's cool that he's always willing to switch up what he's doing and do new things.
Nice.
He's a good guy.
Because he's Mr. Scott Pilgrim, you know?
Yeah.
Mr. Scott Pilgrim.
He's a good guy.
What did I do after that? Oh, God.
Scott Pilgrim's an acceptable movie.
He's 5'8".
Yeah, 5'8". Giancarlo, my brother's uncle.
It's actually pretty short.
Oh, and then Saturday was the day...
But he's still stoic.
Yeah.
Saturday was the day of the recording of the Benview Megacast.
Ooh.
So go listen to that.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything about that at all.
I'm not going to be there, but... I'll be there in spirit.
Can you tell me exactly? It's a Benview Mega.
Yeah, I don't know if someone was making a joke online, but I saw someone post, so who's going to San Diego Comic-Con? Because I see everyone's talking about it, and they're going to go and everything. And I just wanted to respond and be like, are you joking? Because it just happened.
Who said that?
Someone that we know?
Someone that I know on Facebook.
Oh.
Who lives in another state.
Yeah, okay.
So I think that's why.
Look, we are so close to this that it's like it's in our blood.
Yeah.
Other people have no idea.
That's true. Something happens in LA or San Diego and we can't help but hear about it.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. That's
especially true. When so many people we know are going to it and stuff like
that. Yeah.
I know.
Must be nice.
Must be nice.
Yeah, like Andrew Lindy of Nerd's Eye
View. I had to fight for a ticket just like everybody else.
You clicked a button. Uh-huh, you clicked a button.
And I waited.
Did you waiting for the world to change?
Yeah.
Wait.
You should see Twitter when those tickets go on sale. People lose their goddamn minds. they're like, I've been waiting for 10 minutes!
Nobody uses Twitter.
Everybody uses Twitter.
Get over it.
I'm tweeting right now. So
I'm watching his tweets right now.
Loving it.
That night, Benson and I went to go see the Thrilling Adventure Hour, Welcome to Nightville crossover, which was a ticketed theater event. It was a great time.
Was it a Fathom event?
Even though I've only listened to about 4 episodes of Welcome to Night Vale, I got the feel of it.
Oh, so you've listened to it as much as I have, okay.
Yeah, and but I'm a big fan of Thrilling Adventure Hour, so it was kind of cool to see the worlds collide in a way.
Like
and,
that Power Man 5000 song?
What?
Where it's like the worlds collide, it's a Power Man 5000 song. It was popular for like 2 seconds. Song. It's not really good.
Sure. And
it just repeats the same thing over and over again.
Basically, we'd heard that Nathan Fillion was going to be in the audience.
Nadian.
So we were going to try and find him because Benson's mother wants a signature. And then
I think we all do.
We were there.
I would love a signature.
We were there seeing the show with David King, who
of Midnight Marinera.
Yeah, Midnight Marinera, and he had some kind of a friend or some kind of hookup where we got wristbands to go to an after party.
What?
Yeah.
So, which one?
The after for this showing. So the cast nice. from this showing.
Cool.
When it came out and mingled with the audience.
That's sweet.
And there, you know, there was much mingling. It was pretty cool. And you won't hear about that on Benview Megacast because it was recorded before the events happened.
Good. I didn't want to listen to that crap anyway.
Let me tell you.
Ooh.
It was pretty great.
Damn.
Mark Evan Jackson. Great guy. There's a picture of him and me and Benson on the Facebook somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We got Craig Kukowski to record a little bumper for Shut Up Leonard.
You never
That's
told
Officer
me that.
Officer Kukowski.
You never told me that, you lying, cheating dog. I can't trust you with anything.
And he was really cool about it. It was really great. And what else? You know, it was pretty great overall. No Nathan Fillion. He didn't hang around for that after party.
What
but
a punk.
whatever.
He's got stuff to do.
I never liked him or his castle.
Neither did Will Wheaton. He was in the show, but I did not see him at all afterwards.
Wheaton?
Mr. I tweet about the beers I drink Wheaton.
Is that a
joke? He like,
no, he does.
Wheat beer?
I believe yesterday he drank a Stone IPA.
All right, wrapping it up. Sunday?
Wrap it up.
I went to... I got there early so I could see the Quentin Tarantino panel. And the very first thing there was a screening of the new Scooby-Doo animated movie, which was full of fart jokes. So that's where Scooby-Doo is right now.
Mm. Poor Casey Kasem.
Put him down.
Yeah. And in this one, it was... Yeah, Casey Kasem wasn't involved in this one. It was, in fact, somehow... who's the guy who played him in the live-action movie? He's now doing the animated voice.
Oh,
which one?
The guy from...
From the Descendants.
Yeah.
Donor-looking kid.
What is his real name?
Which movie? What are you talking about?
Well, he was in the live-action Scooby-Doo. He played Shaggy in the live-action Scooby-Doo.
Oh.
Now he's doing the voice sometimes.
The guy from Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess.
And from Scream or Scary Movie.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you have a name? I'm sorry.
Hurry up,
Will,
Jordan.
In 1 second.
Will Wheaton, I believe he said.
I went to the wrong page.
Did you?
Unfortunately.
I have just made
Shaggy's
my
real name is Norville Rogers. He's from Coolsville. Trying to just give Shaggy facts while you're looking up who this guy is. I probably could have found this before.
Yeah, come on, Grandpa. Come look on, at how close he is to the screen. And he's wearing
because
glasses.
I didn't want
to
click
just
on
look
anything.
Look up the Scooby-Doo movie. No, I'm just going to look up screen.
For God's sake.
Look at how close he is to that screen. Don't you
he even
just
does
go
have
inside.
Glasses on. He's doing double.
Why don't you just Lucy the shit out of that thing? Just get inside
I guess
it.
He doesn't have a picture.
He's for, oh my goodness. I'm going to find it before you.
I'm going to find it before either of you. Adam, stall.
Damn it. All right, guys. So, Andrew went to Comic-Con, and I was kind of upset that he didn't
I can't believe
me.
He was so upset that he didn't even
he
invite
He didn't invite
him.
Any of us. He wanted to go hang out
Matthew
with
Lillard, them. You're welcome.
Ah.
Oh, God. All your faces.
I was so
I beat you fast. The power of my phone.
He wasn't. I went to page. IMD of three different movies, and he was not on the main screen.
He went to IMD, that's why.
I did get you a comic, though.
You did.
Adam.
Thank
it's over
much.
There somewhere.
Thank you.
So, so Matthew Lillard was the voice, but he wasn't on the panel. It was, I'm sorry. I'm not going to make you look at the name, but it was whoever played Velma. She was on
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
The Facts of Life.
Oh, no. That's Daphne.
Yeah. The lady who played Velma was on The Facts of Life, and I realized, I looked at her and I recognized her, and I was like, holy shit. Like, it's super weird.
Linda Cardellini.
Nope.
That's actually Velma.
The voice
in the movie.
Actor of Velma in the cartoon.
Oh,
now.
Cartoon. You didn't say that.
That's what I'm talking about.
You got to listen. You got to listen.
So don't listen when he talks.
Andrew is quick.
It was a weird cartoon.
Wait, what did you say?
Yep.
Exactly.
So the next panel was...
Don't let me forget.
It was Linda Cardellini.
Motherfuckers.
You son of a
Teen bitch. Titans Go,
what
which
is
the
so dumb.
It is. They screened an episode or something, and it was very dumb. And the panel sucked so hard because the creators of the show or the producers or whatever the fuck, they had two of them, and they just did not give like one fuck about what anyone cared about their show. Every question they got asked, they're like, "Yeah, pizza." Like, because the whole show is, I guess, about how they like to eat pizza. It's so dumb.
The original one had great stories.
Yeah.
It's already on its second season.
Yeah. So, of course, a couple of fans came up and asked, like, I like this show, but I like the other one better. When are they going to go back to doing the style of the other show? When are they going to go back to
That's
doing
awesome.
A serious Teen Titans?
The other one was fantastic.
Yeah. It was like dramatic. And they got, it's funny because the voice cast is the same. They actually got them to come back.
They
pay them. And you know what's weird? Okay, the Beast Boy guy,
yeah.
In real life, he talks exactly like Beast Boy.
Whoa.
I'm not even... And he looks like the type... It's super weird. He's like, yeah, man, that's cool. It was like super weird.
I like your impersonation.
Like, he didn't even do... Like, he's not even doing a voice. He's just talking. So, yeah, it was... that was
makes me upset.
But the cool thing was... They had this is true fan status. Remember the well they do the theme for Teen Titans Go, but remember who did the theme for Teen Titans?
Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was they had their own cartoon at some point, but it was a
Foo Fighters. I don't know.
Was that band from Kill Bill?
Well, it was a pop group.
Yeah, the band from Kill Kill Bill.
And they were there. It's Puffy AmiYumi is their what they're
Puffy
called.
Puffy AmiYumi. Yeah.
And
I was thinking of the gang. The Crazy 8/8ths is the gang. Yeah.
They do not speak English, so they had an interpreter, and it was hilarious.
Is that the band from Kill Bill?
It was fantastic. I don't think so.
They go, whoop, whoop, whoop.
No, that's the 88s. Or 86s? 89s? 79s? It's a number.
1971.
So it was kind of great because they'd get up there, and they'd give their answer into the mic, and then their little interpreter lady was like, she says they're going on tour soon.
Did they get Ron Perlman for Slade?
The 5678.
No, new one. That's
what
it.
You say?
The 5678 is that band.
This has been a rambling conversation about
yeah,
Kill Bill.
Goddamn right. Jesus.
So yeah, Puffy AmiYumi, which I thought that was really cool.
I remember that name now.
They were Teen Titans. That's a classic theme song in my head.
Yeah.
And there they were, and someone asked them what their favorite like anime was, and then they, of course, when they say it, like you understand, because the anime title's like the same, yeah. And so people in the audience are like, "Wow!" when they said it, and they're like, "Oh my god!" Yeah, it was great. That was a really weird experience. But then they had the Lego Batman 3 panel, where they revealed a couple of things, a couple of new informations.
We're listening, Andrew.
You're looking at pictures of Puffy AmiYumi because you want to remember who they are.
So what panel did you go to?
Lego Batman 3,
okay.
Where they revealed a lot of new stuff, including... So Aquaman, I think we knew was going to be there. But then the same guy who's voicing Aquaman is voicing Superboy is going to be in Lego Batman 3.
Okay.
I know. The moderator was like a huge fan of Superboy. So he was like, oh, Aquaman's a piece of shit, but Superboy, oh my God. And we wanted to all kill him because that's
him
not
too.
The job of a moderator.
Yeah,
you're supposed to just
moderators
like,
that do that.
Yeah.
Do your job.
It's the worst.
Do your fucking job.
But then
job.
Also Adam West came out.
Hey, oh, damn yeah. West.
Because
I heard about this, yeah.
He's going to be in the game not only as 66 Batman, but also as Adam West. He's going to be, if anyone played Lego Marvel superheroes, Adam West is going to be the Stan Lee of the Lego Batman 3, which is
awesome.
There will be parts where you have to save a person in peril, and it's always going to be Adam West playing himself.
Nice.
It's pretty great. I love it. So and then after that was the Quentin Tarantino, where it was supposed to be a Dynamite Comics 10th anniversary panel featuring Quentin Tarantino, but it very quickly turned into Quentin Tarantino talks about Django and Zorro.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
That was really cool. He talked a lot about that. I wrote an article for Agents of Guard about that.
No one cares about your fake website.
It's not my fake website. It's Justin and Nathan's fake website.
They're not real people.
Did he?
He unplugged the router.
Adam.
Sorry.
Don't unplug the router.
Adam, if you're gonna be over there with the router, I want a gummy worm. Toss me one.
I'm sorry.
Stick it in my mouth right now.
If you don't just go randomly unplugging things. What if you turned off our recording right here? It wouldn't have saved.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is why we can't have nice things,
uh-huh.
Adam.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know if it's going to come back until I go do a thing. Is it back?
It's back now.
Okay.
It's back.
Thank God.
Don't yell at me.
Anyway, so that's it. That's all.
I'm connected.
The end.
That's all the end.
He's so sad right now.
God, we can finally stop his rambling about how cool he is because he went to San Diego.
So did you hear about the Deadpool stuff getting released?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so like the big thing about Deadpool is like there's been an actor who's been perfect for the role for a long time.
Well, I think this is like non-starter news. I don't think this came out of Comic-Con. I think this was like leaked old
footage.
It was old footage,
but it was leaked during Comic-Con.
Well, probably because they're trying to draw attention, yes. Blah, blah, blah.
Because it has a director now. It has a script that everybody likes. Mm-hmm. Ryan Reynolds says he's ready to do it.
Where are you getting this
news
from? Did this just happen right now? Like 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, look it up.
Why are you so excited about it? Is that what?
It's on a website.
Breaking news?
It's on a website.
Is it on,
okay, let me go on a website
on,
and write,
it's on a website.
God is dead. Is that true now?
So the director is Tim Miller.
Okay, I love him.
And so this, they made a video in 2012 that was kind of like test footage that featured like the visual style, the type of humor, and like the type of action that they wanted to do in the movie.
He did Rockfish and Scott Pilgrim.
And it reminded me, it's funny, it came out in 2012, but it's a fight scene inside of an SUV. So stop me if you've heard this one. Because it's in the Raid 2.
I didn't watch. Oh yeah, I didn't. But I didn't watch this footage.
Oh, I know, but
I didn't watch the Raid 2.
I saw this footage and I went, "Wow, they totally ripped this off of The Raid, because he fights inside of an SUV with a bunch of people. But the thing is, this came out before The Raid, so that's kind of funny.
Who's stealing?
And it's very similar, but like it's at the point where like fans want it. It says here that the talent and the crew want to make it, so now it's just about like a studio jumping on board, because they only want to do it if it's an R-rated project.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
And it makes
sense. Did you play the Deadpool video game?
I loved it.
Really?
It was so good.
I heard it was bad. So
no, it was great.
I mean, also, taking into account that you love everything.
No. Sure. I mean, no, it was actually a fun game.
Okay.
It had a really good combat style. The humor was awesome. The greatest thing was Nolan North, who voices a whole bunch of different characters in the video game industry, played Deadpool, but then also played Nolan North.
Oh.
Because the whole point of the game is Deadpool is trying to get a game made about himself.
Oh, geez.
So he's constantly calling Nolan North on the phone, telling him all the cool things that he's doing and trying to get Nolan North to agree to be the voice actor.
Okay. Well.
So, yeah, this test footage, it's only like 2 minutes long. It's very good. It's very funny. Like, I would definitely love to see a movie in this style. So.
All right.
I don't like Ryan Reynolds.
That's the news.
You don't? Or are you just saying that?
I'm just saying that. I like him a lot, actually.
I do like Ryan.
I want him to be my friend.
You know what I want to talk about right now? I want to talk about the box office top 10.
Do it.
Oh, here we go.
I'm not prepared. Hold on. Hold on. I'm ready.
We go.
You have to say a thing.
I know. I'm building dramatic effect.
Bum, 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 bum.
Coming down.
I am number 10.
A most wanted man.
And if you were a woman, you would be number 9.
Tammy?
Number 8.
And so it goes.
That number 7 exists.
Transformers, Age of Extinction.
Who all got together to make a number 6.
Good lord.
That's not picking up. That did not pick up on the microphone at all.
Sex tape.
It's Matt now, and he's laughing.
You broke him.
Fool.
You broke him.
I broke Matt.
Fuck, where are we? Okay, I'm ready.
You're number 5.
Am I brain sexy? Which, they did it on number 5.
Planes, Fire, and Rescue.
Which is what they needed during number 4.
The Purge, Anarchy.
Which happened after number 3.
Rise of the Dawn of the Sunset of the Planet of the Apes.
They were conquered by number 2.
Hercules, Hercules, Hercules!
But he had to answer to number 1.
Lucy!
Ah, Ricky!
Thanks for breaking everyone's ears. So, let's talk a little bit about these numbers. Lucy made 44 million.
You know, I'm actually really surprised that it's number 1.
And Hercules made 29. That's quite a significant number less. That's 15 by
everyone's,
my reckoning.
Two reasons. One, it's a female heroine,
which
you shoot up. And the other thing is she's on like the high end of popularity right now because of the Avengers movies and all that stuff.
But I call BS because I subscribe to the theory boys rule and girls drool. And I think there's some sort of conspiracy.
Did you see Hercules?
I saw The Rock, and that's all I needed to know.
Are you going
to
see Hercules?
Well, I'm on a sexist podcast.
Are you going to see Hercules?
I will. I will.
When it comes out on DVD.
I don't like the director.
I think this is kind of a big deal.
I do, too.
I think this is good, though. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's good.
Not that The Rock cares that his movie made $29 million and it got beat by Scarlett Johansson. He'd probably say something like, hey, I'm The Rock.
I don't give a shit.
I'm sexy Rock.
And I don't think...
I did my job.
I honestly...
That's not the first time I got beat by a woman. Hey-o!
I don't think... Hercules, I think The Rock would care if this was meant to be a series. I think Hercules is a self-contained tale.
Yep.
It doesn't end with like, oh, and what's the next thing he does?
Yeah,
so he doesn't give a shit if it makes money or not, because his sequel money is in the Fast and Furious series.
The Fury Eye movie.
And he, like, I follow him on Instagram and Twitter, and
he's
like,
great,
he posts pictures of stuff that he's doing and like little like seconds of film where like he was doing a scene where he was like chained up to a wall. And he's doing his whole I Am Hercules thing as he's pulling.
Yeah.
And he said that every single day he'd go home where they'd have to they used real steel. They made him, or he told them the only way he would do it is if they used real metal, because he really wanted to pull. And every single day he went home with bandages on his wrist.
Yeah.
Because of how hard, like, he's into it. So.
Well, he was a wrestler.
Yeah. Well, of course.
He was Mickey Rourke? Or?
He was already an actor before
he was already an actor.
Yep. He was also a college football player. Miami Hurricanes.
And then, of course, Rise of the Apes, which you've got the wrong information there, Jordan.
Oh, I put the wrong number?
Yeah. I think you flipped those. It's fourth week out, and it's already up to 172.
Oh, I did it right from the chart, so the chart.
And there were no sunsets in that movie. I watched it. It was all dark in there.
So I think that's really cool that it's doing well.
Heck yeah.
I'm going to go see it.
It's third week.
And then...
Oh, the entire number scheme's backwards.
Oh, okay. Good job.
It's all backwards. That's really funny. My bad.
But 49 million, or 44 for Lucy, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
What do we got to say about that, huh?
Well you
gonna,
didn't like
I
it.
I mean, it's not
so
going to last.
Lucy?
Next
you
week,
disagree with
it's going to drop down to number three or something because of new releases coming this
week. Oh, my God. I can't even wait. Because Guardians of the Galaxy, this is like what? We're technically in midsummer now.
Yeah.
Are we going to go and say like it's already 100 million for Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, man. I can't imagine it doing less than 100.
Yeah, it's going to have to open.
I can't imagine.
120 for you? Jordan?
Well, let's not start betting.
Oh, yeah. Let's.
That was too complicated the last time for me.
This is a different kind of betting.
It's a different kind.
Just make losers by the winner candy.
Make the article. Make the our little notes, our production document. Mm-hmm. Do that before the weekend, and we can each put our numbers in.
Okay.
Into where we do comments.
Okay.
I'm done.
I think it'll do $200 billion.
Jesus Christ!
Because I am going to take out a massive loan to my credit union.
Massive.
A whole $200 billion.
And then he's
going to
sell the tickets himself.
No, I'm just going to buy and empty the theater, and I can watch it all by myself. That's something Montana Max would have done.
All right, so moving on. If you don't want to go out into theaters and see any of those things that are new, you can go home and just sit there on your couch.
Before we do that,
what?
I think it's interesting that we've stabilized. Like, we've had week after week pretty big fluctuations in the draw, and there's like not even a 1 million difference between this week and last week.
Next week it's going to be a huge jump.
Huge. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Because we still have people who are going to be seeing Hercules, Lucy, Planet of the Apes still has a tail on it, except for the apes don't, but the movie does.
This will be Jordan Scott does movie puns.
Evolution jokes.
I was going to say, how much do you think Hercules will decrease because of Guardians?
Half, more than half.
Yeah.
Next weekend, it'll make under 10.
I think all these numbers will just be split in half. Because the entire audience of every single movie on this list is going to go see Guardians.
Well, and then also you have to consider there's probably a good group that are going to see Guardians more than once in the weekend.
Oh, definitely.
Even the weekend span.
If I really like it.
See, I'm only going to do it once because I'm going to do IMAX 3D at the get-go.
Yeah, that's where I want to go.
I might end up seeing it in 3D, I think.
Of the IMAX,
and I told you.
Maybe IMAX,
after,
maybe not. I don't know.
After that preview at the Captain EO Theater, that was really cool.
I love that you're
there's
the
a
Captain
lot
theater,
of...
The way.
It is the Captain EO. It's always going to be that to me.
I know, but there was a time when it was Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Fuck that.
And that was super dumb.
Fuck that.
I mean, it had Eric Idle, but come on.
It's always been Captain EO to me.
Yeah.
And it will always be.
You'll always be Captain EO.
It was really cool. They had some really nice depth shots. You know?
Yeah.
No, have you seen any of the test footage, any of the preview stuff?
Just the trailers.
I was gonna explain, like,
I'd like to go in very like empty.
Because they showed the title screen, how the title screen comes up.
Uh-huh.
It is amazing. Because just imagine there's a full shot where the only character on screen is that big, and then the title screen comes up above him and he's tiny, just like below the H. And
that's awesome.
He's just really tiny dancing down here, and he's kind of popping because he's 3D. But the title card is just huge and just popping out of the screen. And then there's the depth of everything behind him.
Uh-huh.
Looks really cool.
Yeah,
and that
I'd seen comparison of some early footage to newer footage, and they really they made it more detailed. They really made it look good.
Yeah. I'm excited.
All right. So, Couch Potatoes, here comes your new releases.
Oh.
DVD and Blu-ray, we have Cuban Fury.
Ooh.
That's not what happens after you watch Chef and eat their Cuban food.
Oh, I see what you're doing there.
God, look at the screen.
Is this the Balls of Fury, but in Cuba?
No, this is Salsa Dancing with Nick Frost, who you know as Nick Frost of and Simon Pegg.
Yeah, this was a while ago.
Rashida Jones, Chris O'Dowd. It looks kind of dumb, but maybe silly and fun.
You mean dumb, but good.
Sure. So that's out. What's next? Noah? Russell Crowe.
Emma
Watson.
Mr.
Director of a
Anthony
movie.
Hopkins.
What is that director's name?
Maximus Aurelius.
Darren Aronofsky.
Like, that's not the guy.
Somehow that
made
me remember, so that's weird.
Maximus Decimus Aurelius.
The other woman
Father of a murdered
is another DVD Blu-ray release.
Got Jamie Lannister.
Husband of a murdered wife.
What?
The other woman.
I love that. That's so much.
The film debut of... What are you doing with your hair today?
Jamie Lannister.
He looks like Barton Fink.
He looks like Eraserhead.
Eraserhead, that's what I'm thinking of.
If he's not paying attention to the conversation, I've seen him in the corner of my eye. He's frosting his hair. He's just getting down.
He's making out... His hands are just making out with his scalp.
I don't even know what I was saying. The other woman. The Protector 2.
Is that with...
The Protector.
Donnie Jaa. Or how do you say it last name? Jaa?
It's not obviously not 100% correct, but yeah.
Tony Jaa. Are you good?
Okay. Yep. DVD only. Finding Vivian Mayer.
Oh,
this is that documentary we saw the trailer for before Snowpiercer.
The lady who died.
She
go ahead.
Yeah, when she died, somebody bought her storage or her apartment or whatever, and they found a trunk and they opened it up and she had a bunch of undeveloped negatives and like pictures. She was secretly like a master photographer. Like she was amateur, but like her pictures, people love them because they're so candid. They're so, but they're framed. And so they showed a couple of them during the trailer for the documentary. And they were really good. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like...
The trailer.
They're really cool
really
pictures.
Great stuff.
But she was like... She never made anyone know about it. Like
She never showed
it.
Her work to
she
anybody.
She was like... Everyone knew her as a nanny. Like, she was
but
not
But they were like, oh, she
artist.
Was always taking pictures, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So, and like, it's really crazy. There was like... I really love... There's one in the trailer where it's like she took a selfie. I kind of love that. Like, guys, selfies aren't new. They don't need a new fucking name. We don't need to call them selfies.
They've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like stories like that where someone after they died, they find like a chest full of manuscripts and they become this prolific writer that everyone loves, but he never published anything. Like,
wait till
there's
you guys
a lot
find
of stories
my dresser.
Like that.
Damn it, I was just going to say I should just die right now.
Next on the DVD only is we have a film called Half of a Yellow Sun. This is noteworthy to me because it is... A film
which
with John Boyega.
Oh,
John Boyega.
Another big name on there.
Of Attack the Block. Mm-hmm. Well, John Boyega hasn't been in much
we
since
want
Attack
him.
The Block.
We
so this
him.
Is exciting for me. But yeah, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Thandi Newton, and Anika Nani Rose.
He's going to be in Star Wars. Don't worry.
I know he's going to be in Star Wars, but look, guys, he's a good actor.
Yeah, he's
going to
be doing. He's going to be doing other stuff before Star Wars.
Well, he's done a few things, but hopefully he'll have a good, strong acting career
he was
after Star Wars
good
as well.
At
yeah.
That movie.
So I'm kind of excited. He's in another film that we can see.
You got a whole lot of links in this.
Is that
section.
Our pick? Is that going to be our pick this week, or are we? Still
I think we're going with the TV pick.
Oh.
Next up on DVD only, we have a film called Lullaby.
Oh yeah, Lullaby.
Which, I don't know. This has like a crazy star-studded cast, but I don't remember it being released.
Is it a straight to DVD?
Terrence Howard.
No, it had it in theaters.
Yeah, it's
for
in theaters.
Back in June. But Garrett Hedlund, Richard
like
Jenkins,
Belichick.
Amy Adams, Terrence Howard, Jennifer Hudson. Big names. It's like a family indie kind of thing, you know.
Oh my God! The freaking picture for this next movie.
Oh yeah.
Jordan's already
this next
on.
Title. These are numbers. When you hear it, you'll understand. One chance. Two dance.
Okay, every grandma in the world is going to go, 12 chance dance. That looks good.
12 chance dance.
12 chance. Or 1-2 chance dance.
One,
cha-cha-cha. 1-2
chance,
chance dance. Cha-cha-cha.
One chance.
Here,
you two
gotta,
dance.
I got to read this description. When a 17-year-old aspiring dancer is uprooted mid-semester of her senior year, she finds herself in a small East Coast high school where her heart will be divided between two boys and she will have one last shot at making... their big dream of becoming a dancer a reality. God, they worked so hard to make that
this
one sentence,
looks
didn't they?
So okay. bad.
That is insane.
Can I throw something out here, guys?
Please do.
All right. When I first saw this on the document and then I clicked on it, I didn't realize that it was one chance and then they meant like T.O. dance. And so when I just looked at the cover, it looked like some sort of dance instruction movie. And then when you read this, I was like, what
the? Those workout videos?
Uh-huh.
The tagline on the DVD cover is "Leave it all on dance floor." Mm-hmm. Isn't that from a song?
I feel like they
enough to not be copyrighted.
No. But like, shouldn't this be out like in a couple weeks when Step Up 99 comes out?
No, they don't want to have to compete.
Nope.
No,
and also
no,
it's
no,
number
I mean,
five.
I mean,
please.
This is a straight to DVD.
No, it is.
Yeah, Step Up gets the honor of theatrical.
But that's what I mean. They could have put their DVD out then. The people who go see that movie and they like Step Up and they want to go, you know, get a little more dancing.
Maybe. Well, Step Up was actually supposed to come out this weekend, so maybe they didn't move their release date even though Step
Why
Up
didn't
did.
It? I want to see it get
Step
crushed.
Up moved its release date. This next one, it's
Man, this looks so bad.
This is technically a made-for-TV movie, but I wanted to include it because it is Christopher Lloyd and Haley Joel Osment in a film together called The Ransom of Red Chief.
This is a Western.
Where Christopher Lloyd and another guy kidnap the child for some reason, and the child is Haley Joel Osment. And I thought it was funny because I saw him at Comic-Con. Like, I saw him as an adult, and now here, this movie that he's in where he's a child comes out. Super weird.
It makes me sad when child actors look great, and then they become adults, and they look too much like they did when they were kids.
Well, now he looks
like
Mac from It's Always Sunny.
There, Jordan?
I'm talking about an aesthetically pleasing look.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sexual response in this.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather look at someone and not be like, what the fuck is wrong with his face?
You know, he's a little pudgy. Let him be.
That's
he
not pudge. That's the shape of his head. It hasn't changed.
It's a shovel.
It hasn't changed.
Do you watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No.
He looks like Mac. It's insane. They even made a joke of it when they did a premiere.
Hang with the guy from Pacific Rim?
Six seasons or whatever. No. Finally, last on DVD only, beloved James Garner playing Mark Twain in a film entitled Mark Twain's Roughing It.
Yes!
I actually caught some of this on HBO a few years back.
Did you?
Yeah.
How did you do that a few years back? Because this came out in 2014, it says.
No, this is not new. This is kind of old.
On DVD, it came out in
2014. Came out on DVD.
Oh, okay, so that's the... All right.
Yeah, on DVD.
God, why you gotta be such a frickin' jerk, Jordan?
I'm just going by the
website.
I'm a time traveler.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. He's losing all of you.
No, they've proven that there are no time travelers. They use an algorithm on the internet to prove that there are no time travelers.
We saw Lucy.
You guys didn't see the story?
I mean,
they did a study.
We knew about the algorithm.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
of course.
Did you not realize that you're in the past and you make a thing, and we're in the future and we know you made a thing?
It's 2 hours and 56 minutes long.
I think it's a miniseries.
Be amazing.
But it's pretty great.
Oh, my
it
God.
Goes
James
through his
Gardner
life.
Just died, like,
yeah, I think they're releasing a lot of his stuff because on Blu-ray, James Garner and... Wait, hold on. It's loading. James Garner and Sidney Poitier in a Western called Duel at Diablo.
Ooh,
new on Blu-ray.
That's a good title name.
Sidney.
So I think these people were sitting on James Garner releases. And
just waiting till he dies.
You know, the timing is too...
They have to.
Or
crazy.
Maybe he had the rights to the movies and didn't want them to be released or something.
No, but
and
they had the DVDs made. Like, you have
that's
to consider
really
how quickly could they
that's
get these
true.
Things made.
Yeah. Good job, man.
I think
being the smart
it's time
one on
to
the
do all the printing.
Yeah.
I think sometimes they just sit on an older actor's work until they kick the bucket.
Wow,
and then,
that's really sad.
It's very twisted. It's a twisted world.
Wow.
You know how twisted it is?
They know it's going to
make
more
twisted?
Money.
That just now, on TVD, we're finally getting Twin Peaks, the entire mystery.
Who did it? Who done it?
What do you think the entire mystery means? Well,
who done it?
David Lynch, famously had a longer cut of Twin Peaks: Fire Walk With Me, the made-for-TV television movie.
After the TV show came out.
That came out after the TV show came out, and the movie that came out was a prequel to the television series. That's because they cut out all the parts that were supposed to come either during or after the TV series.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a bridge where it starts before. There's some stuff during and then it ends
after.
So there's
90 new minutes of deleted and alternative scenes from the film. So we're getting, this is it.
Oh, I like this.
$132.
I like the way this looks.
It's expensive because it's the whole series.
It's the entire
new stuff.
Series, yeah.
It's the movie and the new stuff and the special features and Blu-ray.
And it comes with a whole bunch of extra stuff.
Oh, Jesus. Look at that. That's some great box
production stills. And I love the way the box looks.
Yeah. So anyway, that's that.
I've never seen that show.
That's it.
It's quite the collector.
We would tell you about a local video store if anyone would tell us about their local video store. Come on, guys. We want to hear about your local video store.
It's because they don't exist anymore.
Oh, damn it. I drove by one the other day. It was in L.A.
Anyway, we're running long. Let's get to our Lucy review.
It is estimated most human beings only use 10% of the brain's capacity. Imagine if we could access 100%. Interesting things begin to happen. Yes?
Professor Norman, my name's Lucy. I just read all your research on the human brain. It's a little rudimentary, but you're on the right track.
Thank you.
I have access to 28% of my cerebral capacity.
I can feel every living thing.
Since when did you start writing Chinese?
Since an hour ago.
What happens when she reaches 100%?
I have no idea.
All this knowledge, you can unlock secrets that go beyond our universe. I'm not even sure that mankind is ready for it.
It's like all things that make me human are fading away.
Whoever wants to go first.
I don't know how Lucy music goes.
I don't want
to
go first. Somebody else go first.
I'll go first.
I'll go second.
So, I'm just going to say right off the bat, overall, I was not a big fan of this movie. It had some funny parts in it, but overall, and it had a, I thought it had an interesting concept to start with, but I feel like they just, they didn't do anything with it. After she got her, like, her powers, you know, she was never in any real danger. At all. I mean, when was she ever really in danger? All she does is flick her wrist and everyone goes away. So,
or just think about something. And
yeah,
then,
I thought that kind of took away any suspense. And she never really had a goal the entire movie. Like, she was just, she got the guys and then she's like, oh, I'm going to go talk to this guy for a while.
Well, kind of her goal, once she spoke, the first time she speaks to the professor, for those of you who don't know what Lucy's about, it's a woman who gets mixed up with a new drug, breaks inside of her, and the drug actually allows her to use more of her brain than what normal people use, which this professor, who's played by Morgan Freeman, his theory is that the more percentage of your brain you can use, the more things that you can do, like affecting matter and other people and connecting with the universe and stuff like that.
And this, hold on, this is pure sci-fi before anybody writes in. Like, this is not how real science works. Yeah. Everyone's freaking out on the internet.
There's quite literally a part in the film where someone in Morgan Freeman's class says, is this true? And Morgan Freeman's like, oh, it hasn't been proved.
It's science.
This is a theory.
It's all hypothesis.
It's
a
theory.
Yeah.
People need to calm down.
Yep.
So,
but anyway, so I think once she first talks to him and he says,
she gets her purpose.
Well, yeah, he says you should find a way to,
because you know you're gonna
to
die,
save your knowledge or something.
Yep, but,
and she's like, oh, okay, I'll come to
from
you.
That point on, she does everything in order to get to him and find a way
pass
to
on her knowledge.
Pass on her knowledge.
I didn't like that. And at the end, it's sort of, some things I kind of connected it to was a little bit of Dr. Manhattan syndrome kind of thing. You know, at the end, she's, not that she doesn't care about humanity, but she kind of just, like, doesn't care.
Well, she doesn't have emotions.
Yeah, she doesn't have emotions.
She says that right away. She says, once it starts kicking in, she loses her ability to feel, her ability to have emotions. So it's like a...
It felt hard to connect to her when she had no connection to humanity like that. I know she wanted to pass on her knowledge, but she was just killing random people half the time. I mean, it's hard to root for her.
She killed the bad guys' people.
I mean, there was like a myriad of just innocent destruction happening to people like in her wake.
When she was driving? Do you see how many cars crashed?
Yeah, she used her brain powers to,
and
I mean, resuscitate them.
But I think that's one of the points, is like, once you become a being who's very, like thought structure and the way you see the world is entirely logic-based, and how much of your humanity do you lose?
Yeah.
Because you're no longer connected to your emotions anymore. And she says that to him. She's like, I'm not myself anymore. I'm something else. And like, she says it several times throughout the movie that like nothing matters that we're just a collection of stuff, that our concept of the world and our inflated self-importance. I mean, that's kind of what she becomes. She sees everything in a bigger picture. And when the rest of humanity looks like ants because you're seeing it on a universal scale, how much do those ants matter?
I think none of this, none of that really matters because none of it is built up properly.
That's
like,
true.
I this is a 90-minute movie, and normally we complain about movies being too long and, you know, in society today, but I feel like this type of story could have been two hours, 15 minutes, well, just a little bit more. And I would have been totally fine with it.
Yeah, it could have definitely had some fleshing out that it could have done. But I think the only reason it didn't do that was because Luc Besson wanted to make the urgency and the flow of the movie to be very fast. Because once it starts, it just goes.
Yeah, Adam was talking about there was no danger. I kept expecting either the big bad Asian guy, Jang, to get the same power,
which is what happened in I Saw the Devil.
What was the...
And from Old Boy.
What was the Bradley Cooper movie where he gets the
Limitless.
Pill?
Limitless.
Yeah, that's what happens in Limitless, where there's two people with the same power.
It would have made it much more interesting.
Which I think that's what we expected. I'm kind of glad that he didn't go that way.
Because then it just would have been a superhero movie.
Yeah, it would have just been two people with crazy mind powers.
But it would have had a bit more...
I think
danger.
But I think it's not about the danger. I think it's about the knowledge.
And it's about the journey and about her evolution.
I don't know. It kind of felt like the same exact character she played in Her.
But she's a computer.
I know, but she gained...
She's not a computer in this
movie. She becomes a computer.
She does become a computer.
Literally,
she becomes
a computer.
Driver.
Yeah.
And she's everywhere, and she gains so much knowledge that she has to leave this human world.
But her acting, the way she's acting, like, you could see when she's looking at people, I feel like in her mind, the way she was, her physical portrayal was almost like she was computing stuff in her mind.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Was a computer. Yeah, exactly. She did a fantastic job
and then that's
with her
like,
physical acting.
There's that scene where she's in the passenger seat with the police officer before the chase scene starts. And all of a sudden, these lines of code come, and she's like kind of sorting
through
them.
Yeah, and she's looking at
I felt like that's what she sees. Like, you know, we're not supposed to see that. That's what she's seeing.
Yeah, because he talks about earlier in the movie about how we only see a certain light spectrum and everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's crazy. If we could see ultraviolet lights, we wouldn't be able to see in front of our face. Like, we couldn't see our hand in front of our face because there's radio waves going everywhere. There's signals. Like, the air is full of just all of these different wavelengths, and she tapped into that, and that's exactly what it is. She saw stuff like freaking Neo in the Matrix.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a Matrix thing put down that whole white room. The moment it went white, it just reminded me of Matrix, and it made me a little upset.
Yeah.
I thought guns were going to show up.
I did, too. The whole ending was just a bit too...
fast.
Yeah.
Can we go back to the guns showing up?
The guns showing up.
There was no. Let's look, Besson. No, none of the action was good in this movie. Like when I first saw the trailer, I thought this was going to be like a Bourne Identity type thing where there'd be some really cool action.
That's what it looked like
in
the trailer.
And the quick cuts that are in the trailer, but that are also in the scene where the guy comes in and he's like going to mess with her, and she opens her legs or whatever. That whole scene. It's all really cut quickly, and I don't think it's shot very well, so you can see exactly what's going on. Because we can see we've seen Scarlett Johansson kick butt in Avengers and Captain America.
But this kind of connects back to your comment about her becoming a computer, because a computer would not have a glorious fight scene. A computer would do the quickest route possible to neutralize the situation. And I agree.
I'm not asking for a glorious fight scene. I'm just saying it wasn't shot very well.
But this, I disagree with that.
I thought the way that she did it was practical and efficient, like a Jason Bourne type.
You just
thing.
Didn't like the way it was framed.
No, I didn't.
Because I mean, I would argue that for there to be a long fight scene with her would just not make sense for the character. But Luc Besson also does it really strangely in that, like, when the Asian gang comes in to steal, to like go into the operation room, and they just shoot everyone really quick. Like, there's no scene in here except for the scene at the end where she's in the university, and then the chase scene. Like, everything is short. Every action scene starts and ends almost immediately.
Yeah,
it's a really weird choice.
Yeah.
Can we also comment on the fact that these are the worst cops in the world? That the fact They walk by a bunch of gangsters outside loading their weapons.
I expected, based on how like we're introduced to Min-Suk Choi, the villain, the way we're introduced to him and how he has a lot of the cliches of the stereotypical gang villain, you know, the gang leader villain, the mob boss.
Yakuza.
I seriously thought that those cops were bought off.
I did too. I was like, there's no way they're just walking by.
Yeah.
They're loading like assault rifles right in front of their
faces.
But
they're doing it in the trunks of their cars.
It's not, they're not hiding it that well.
Right?
When you see a bunch of dudes, like people from Taiwan.
They should have been at least around the corner.
Like people in Taiwan, where were they? In France at the end or Rome?
Yeah.
In France.
They're France. In France.
And a bunch of suits and a bunch of black cars, that doesn't cause any suspicion to maybe one cop look over and see an assault rifle. I mean.
It's like that one video Jordan showed the other week where the bank robbers come out and then the cops come and they're like, what?
Yeah.
Well, I'm always annoyed in films where cops are defeated very easily just because it's like it's just a dumb thing where we just want to get rid of all the rest of the people so that the one villain or the one good guy
can just
run through and shoot all the bad guys.
They're written to be speed bumps.
Yeah, that's all.
I don't like when they do that, though. No cop has ever put up a fight in a movie.
There was one movie that we watched where a cop shot somebody, and I was like, oh, thank God, finally.
It reminds me of, like, AI in video games.
Like, if you watch any of the Batman movies, I mean, Joker can just walk up to any cop he wants, shoot him in the face. Mm-hmm. They're always a speed bump, and that always bothered me.
There's a recent string. I mean, it's always when the main character is something other than law enforcement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Cops
getting
are
back
trained.
To...
I
mean, so
some
Morgan...
can't just walk up and...
And no one had life... No one had, like... It didn't look like anybody had vests on.
Yeah. Maybe French police are
French
a little
police
different.
Are a little bit looser.
Maybe there's not as much crime in France. We got to look that up.
No, yeah, Europe's safer than it is.
Yeah. America's crazy.
I want to talk about Morgan Freeman in this film.
Through the wormhole, you mean?
He's kind of...
Dr. Morgan Freeman?
He's kind of the second build person, but he's very little in this film. He has a lot of exposition, kind of. Mm-hmm. And he's there for like an end game element where it's like, okay, this is a finality to the film. This is a closing. But it's kind of like a weird similar role to Transcendence.
Yeah,
that he was in Transcendence just to kind of be a cautionary role, to be a knowledge source.
He's kind of like
a
John
guide.
Right,
yeah, he just shows up in these sci-fi films to just be like, oh, this is what you should do.
Or what you shouldn't do.
Or what you shouldn't do. And you should listen to me because I'm always right.
I'm Morgan. Nope, I can't do it. Can't even do it. Not even close.
So, and then also, I was reminded of Scarlett Johansson's performance in Under the Skin.
Yep.
And kind of the
coldness.
The coldness, where it's like it's an understanding. Whereas I think in Under the Skin, it was more or less coming from a place of
not understanding humanity. At all.
Yep. And in this one, it's too much understanding, not of humanity, but of the way that the world works.
Mm-hmm. And losing touch with humanity.
Yeah, so I think they're very different performances, but they're similar in the sense that she's able to pull off, at least in a believable way, both kinds of like coldness and misunderstanding.
And
there's a point in the film where she actually says under the skin, and I was like, she said it.
And that's why I almost disagree with your comparison of her. Because throughout the movie, she has an evolution of becoming more and more human.
That's true. Well,
because
she started out with little humanity. It kind of goes in reverse, but it kind of ends up in the same way at the end.
Well, yeah, because of the fact that both this and her, and I guess Transcendence, are about achieving singularity.
Yeah.
In her, it was about a technological singularity,
mm-hmm.
and in this, it's a human achieving singularity. Mm-hmm.
Transcendence is kind of both.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is a topic that's on people's minds, and it's kind of neat. Does anyone have an explanation for what exactly was happening in the airplane bathroom?
She or her? All right.
Oh,
the way
because
I mean,
they tried to explain it using Morgan Freeman's earlier explanation that a being will either try to reproduce or become immortal.
Immortal, yeah.
So and was that so she hypothetically was, she was becoming immortal?
She was transcending early.
Okay.
And the only way to stop it was to keep
take
giving
more?
Herself that drug.
Did you say transcending?
Transcending.
Well, I mean, that's what they call. That's what it is.
Yeah,
essentially.
I got
she
you.
Was becoming one with the world.
Yeah,
she was becoming
and she
Johnny
was losing
Duck's
her physical
soulmate.
Form.
Yeah, and she wanted to be able to transmit her.
That's
knowledge
why her
before.
Hand was just disappearing.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought, but I wasn't sure if that was or if that was just another power that she just couldn't control, and taking more of the drug got it under control.
That's what I was thinking.
Because she was able to change kind of what she looked like.
Because at the end of the movie, she just ceases to exist.
Yeah.
She's physically.
We're inside Scarlett Johansson.
Well, that was her 100%.
Nerd's Eye View live from inside Scarlett Johansson.
Nice, thank you.
I mean, because that's what singularity is. It's transcending the physical form because your brain is in touch with everything around it.
Mm. One little thing. I know it's dumb, but why did she change her hair after she got to the airport?
Because there's a lot of dumb things like that.
They wanted to show it on
movie.
The screen.
They could have shown it anywhere.
And also, why didn't she keep it changed? That's another thing. And why didn't she change it multiple times?
Or change her face.
Yeah. Or any
become
other.
A black man.
Or become a black man, yes.
She did it at the end. But...
She could have became Morgan Freeman.
Nice, thank you. I want to know, Jordan, what you mean by your third note.
And we want to know it now.
Because it's Luc Besson, and he loves making strong female characters who do amazing things.
The fifth elementer?
Yeah. Okay. As in, like, Die Harder.
Oh, okay.
This is just... Okay. This is an evolution of his work. And
yeah. My third note is also about Luc Besson in general, where because he is French, when he makes films, even for American audiences, they have a nice international feel.
Yeah, I love how they don't feel like an American movie.
I mean, certainly our two leads here are American.
Well, because none of it was in America. Either.
Yeah, but it's all set. It's over in Europe and...
Asia.
The other characters that show up... Well. A good portion of it, I think, is Europe. But yeah, Asia is another
country. It starts in a different country.
I think they spent too much time in Asia. That's what I'm going to say. I think they could have cut.
It's cut and shut it. It's an interesting thing.
That was the part of the movie I liked.
It's an interesting thing because this movie has such a different pace in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then once she gets her powers, it just rockets towards the end of the movie.
Yeah. And I think that to me, that's a hurtful thing. Because we know that she gets the powers. I want the powers early. I want them as soon as possible.
They did drag that out of it.
And I didn't like... They kind of hinted at her and the... What's his name? What's his real name? Well, his name was like Jang or something.
Oh, Min Suk Choi?
Yeah. They kind of hinted that they would have like a weird connection because he gave her a drink. And I thought like, oh, he's like grooming her to be something more in his organization. Did you notice that?
Or she's just a chick and the rest of them were dudes.
Yeah, but he seemed to like her in a way. Which I kind of I would have liked that development.
She opened a case for him.
I know, but I feel I wanted it to be more of like a thing. I wanted the
I'm
raid
sorry,
too.
But,
I'm
but,
sorry,
but a Japanese
we all wanted the raid too.
I wanted Born Identity.
When it comes to an Asian gang, like they're gonna have many uses for a white woman. I'm sorry.
Well, fine.
So that's why he felt a little bit more connected to her.
Yeah, which
as opposed to all those dirty white guys.
That kind of makes me think, why did she get chained up but the rest of the guys got on airplanes? Was she eventually going to get on
an airplane? That was like a whole separate thing where someone within his organization was taking the drugs out of her for themselves.
Oh, you
think? That was a double cross.
Okay.
There's no way because he wouldn't let that happen. He wants to sell all of the drugs to all these markets.
That wasn't super clear to me, but okay.
Yeah, because there's no other reason for her to be in that situation
except
someone took her before she got on a plane.
Yeah. Okay. Did we get?
They didn't make that very clear.
Did we get through all of your notes, Adam? Because I want to wrap this up with my final note.
She was talking about how she can feel the rotation of the Earth and gravity and everything. It just reminded me of the Doctor.
Yeah, she called her mom early on in the film, and her mom was like super cool about her talking about like I can feel all the memories.
Yeah, she was strangely chill with that. I mean,
thought she was gonna say, "Are you on drugs again?
Are you high?"
If she gets high a lot and calls her and makes those comments, it wouldn't be that much of a surprise.
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting for, though. But it just felt like, is this the Doctor?
Yeah. So my final note here, I felt kind of odd at the beginning of this film that we really don't get to know who Lucy truly is until she takes the drug, and then that's how we get to know her as a person, as her trying to save the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't... Her character maybe seems like kind of a floozy or kind of like...
She's a party girl.
But I feel like that's cheap. I don't know.
The whole thing at the beginning too with the cheetah and stuff and the mousetrap, I thought that was kind of interesting. But after that,
it doesn't
do that anymore.
Completely.
Yeah. And the other crazy thing, so in that scene, it's cutting between what's actually happening to her, which she's being set up by her boyfriend at the time,
and like a metaphorical image
and a metaphorical imagery of a cheetah
predator.
Taking down a gazelle.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice. There's a weird switch where her outfit has a cheetah pattern.
Yeah.
She's the cheetah.
Yeah,
like, it's a weird...
It's hinting...
And I was like, that's super cool, but too bad it doesn't
carry... becoming the predator.
Yeah, it doesn't carry on past that. We don't get a lot of imagery stuff
I liked
that.
How they did that. I thought it was very cool, and then they just left it alone. They didn't do anything with it.
Yeah,
that scene with the mouse and the trap was funny.
Yeah. It was funny
that was clever.
Perfect, almost. So yeah, I just wish we maybe got to know her a little bit better before.
Although
the whole
thing. There's a lot of like stuff that I was kind of generalizing about her. Well, you know, she's a student overseas, so like, is her family wealthy, or maybe did she get some sort of scholarship? Like, I was wondering all this random.
Well, then there
crap.
Was another crazy thing.
But,
where...
but like the movie goes so quick that I stopped thinking after a while.
The movie at some point says that she's 25 years old, but then when she's driving, the guy says, do you drive? And she's like, I've never driven.
There's people in New York that have never driven.
Yeah, there are places in the world where people don't drive.
But then she's studying abroad, so I don't know. It's like a weird...
All right, it's possible. If she's in Europe and Asia, it's not America. There. Everyone drives in America unless you live somewhere like New York or
but it seems like
San
a weirdly,
Francisco.
She's like a weirdly specific character that has no specifics to her.
That's because her past doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't.
It's all about
well,
who she becomes and
I
what
really
she and what she leaves in the world.
You were just complaining how there's too much exposition and
no,
you
no,
wanted
no.
to get to the powers.
Not, I mean, if the exposition was good, I'd say the exposition wasn't good. Like, it was like drawing out tension-filled scenes that had no tension because, yeah, they're not going to blow her up when she opens the suitcase.
I liked
not
all the tension in those scenes.
Like,
the fact that all the guys came out with shields and they're all pointing guns
at
her.
I thought it was awesome. Kind of funny too.
Yeah, that was
it
awesome.
Was funny, but like it still was like, okay, get on with what we're here for.
I was happy because it sets a total a tone change. The beginning of the movie has a certain tone and then it totally changes. And the later tone, the breakneck pace that it takes towards the end doesn't have as much weight or is, in my opinion, not as interesting.
It's a lot more serious, too.
Yeah, without that beginning where...
It's trying to raise interesting questions.
Because you were talking about there was no consequences. There was no fear. The beginning of the movie, we're afraid for her.
Yeah.
And then as soon as she takes that drug and as soon as she starts becoming something else, that's her no longer having fear, no longer being in peril. Yeah. So I like the just the juxtaposition of that.
At least for a little while.
It took me a little while to get that one.
You got it. It's good.
I'm proud of you.
Yes, it took you a while and took.
But I think, you know, in the end, I did like this film. I'm not going to say I didn't like it.
I think this says something about the way my brain works, because I would have rather just had a straight-up action film as opposed to this other
it's like a thinker.
Science fiction where it's raising these different questions.
I'll say that.
I liked her more than I liked this movie.
Did anyone? We reviewed like The Family. Were you here for that?
The Family?
Yeah.
I was not here
Heck
for that.
Heck yeah, The Family.
You were not here.
I was not here.
Who was here? Were you here?
I don't remember who we had.
Maybe Benson? Or maybe it was just us two.
Maybe it was just
but
us
Luke
two.
But Luc Besson's last film was The Family.
Yeah, oh,
the family. And I liked The Family.
I liked The Family.
I think
you
he was
there like us,
no, I didn't.
I think he's actually a solid
Because I saw it on TV later, like on HBO.
I think he's a solid filmmaker.
Yeah, I like The Family.
Even though The Family has problems of its own.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying there.
Aside, I mean, even I love The Fifth Element, but that's not a perfect movie.
Excuse me?
Hold on. Did anyone think the bazooka in the hallway?
That was so ridiculous.
Did anyone think he was trying to do his Leon the Professional thing again?
I don't know.
Like, I really wanted John Renault to be the Frenchman in this movie.
He would have been the officer. Oh, that would have been great.
The Frenchiest Frenchman.
He's too old.
Or the cop that's in the Transporter movies.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Yeah. That guy's great.
I like him.
Is that Matthew Almeric?
But that
Maybe.
Power slide, though. That power slide. That's ridiculous.
It was just ridiculous. That's what I'm talking about. Like, it's such a
He's
a
65
drastic...
years old.
John Renault is not too old to be in this movie.
Nope.
He could have been, like, the cop above that cop.
That's true.
It's such a drastic tonal shit. Like,
he could have been the
totally
guy who came in and said,
shit.
Hey, I got you a bacon sandwich.
Oh, no.
Although I guess it's a good thing that they didn't, because I think they were trying to set a different tone the rest of the movie, that they didn't have a funny cop, buddy cop thing.
Can we review The Raid 2 next week? Let's go watch it again.
We did. You were here for that. That was a couple weeks ago.
I feel like that was a long time ago.
Jordan?
That was like 3 months ago.
It's from The Family.
Oh, yeah. That's she's on. She was on Glee. Diana Agron. Anyway,
okay, this has been Jordan Likes.
Jordan likes this.
Yeah, you should see True Detective.
True Detective?
Yep. True Blood
is she
Detective?
In no.
A different actress is.
Yeah, I thought you were saying she's in it. Anyway, that's Lucy. That's our Lucy review.
So what do we give it? Matt, what do you think? Like it? No?
I
recommend it?
If you love Luc Besson, go see it.
Is this another Dread situation for you?
No, this movie is better than Dread.
Okay, just checking.
I just there was so much going on, and I felt like it was all done so quickly and not fleshed out enough that it didn't make for a concise movie, you know, for me.
I'm gonna say it's like a better Transcendence. It's a thinking Transcendence, because Transcendence I think had ideas but didn't flesh them out, and this one actually fleshes them out.
The thing I at least appreciated about Transcendence is that they were able to, like, well, I guess it's, never mind, moot point, because Johnny Depp's a villain and she's the hero. Not really a hero, though. She's not really trying to save anyone
in
this movie.
You liked it?
That's a moot point, though.
Yeah.
Like, the majority of the time, I'm going to like whatever.
Oh, I thought you were going back to what I was saying. I was like, yeah, no, I know, Jordan. I caught it.
It's a moot point.
It's a cow point.
Adam, you made your thoughts clear.
I thought it had a great premise. It had a lot more potential. I don't think it lived up to its potential, but if you're looking for a decent action movie, a decent little thinking movie, I'd say go see it.
Alrighty.
It's called The Raid 2.
The Raid 2.
Or go watch Winter Soldier.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
Captain America. Yeah,
there's a lot of movies that are better than this. Okay, guys. Stop naming them all.
Raid 1, the first Raid.
All right. What's coming out new in theaters this weekend, Matthew Ohl?
Well, just Guardians of the Galaxy.
Of course.
A little indie movie.
A little.
Based on a small property.
Yep.
Yeah.
No one's really heard of it.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Really? After that, okay. New in theaters this week, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy. Get on up.
Hey!
And limited release, Calvary.
Call him in.
Limited release, 4 Minute Mile. It's the abridged version of 8 Mile.
Yeah. Thanks. Oh, no. Thanks for spoiling my
Mom's
ending guess.
Spaghetti.
All right. Before we get to guess the ending.
Oh, I thought we were doing that.
Let's talk about our theme song. It's called Sophomore Makeout. It's from Silent Partner from the YouTube audio library.
You know, if you had your right hand going, we could hear that as the show was coming in. I don't like this anymore.
I thought you were going to say y'all.
I'm putting y'all on blast.
Y'all. Why aren't you saying y'all?
Not anymore. Not for you. Not until you get your life sorted out, Andrew.
All right, then. But you know who does have their life sorted out? Justin Cuzon of Agents of Guard.
Can't
who did our logo?
That guy. I hate
AgentsofGuard.com. If you go there now, you'll see my San Diego Comic-Con coverage.
Every time I see that guy, I'm going to
push
him.
Handful of articles. You should also check out another podcast that I do with our own Matt Benson. It's called Shut Up, Leonard. That's right. Myself and Matt Benson talk about Community. Every episode of Shut Up, Leonard is about one episode of Community. We're currently on season 2. Check it out. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Shut Up Len Pod. If Tom was here, what would he say?
Oh, I like OptiGrabber right there. Oh, I also like ReadWave. I write there. Usually TV shows and stuff. Check me out. I'm there all the time. Every day a week. I got a different schedule. You should just go to those places.
All right.
And I love The Simpsons.
You should vote for us on podcastland.com. Just go to podcastland.com, look up Nerd's Eye View, and click vote. Or just use the link in the description. Our podcast is a part of the podcast network called The Benview Network. You can find all those other shows at benviewnetwork.com or on Twitter at Benview Network. That's Matt and Brenda's Wrestling Show, Popsicles, Pillage Cast. We're going to be dropping that Benview Megacast recorded at San Diego Comic-Con, featuring special guest Nathan Schultz and others.
Dr. King Schultz.
But Nene's not part of our network, but we invited him and others to come on the Benview Megacast, where we talk about our experiences at the Comic-Con. Also, Midnight Marinara. David King was there. Midnight Marinara is his show
tasty.
Where he takes creepypastas and turns them into radio dramas. He's got some big things coming. So check that out. It's all at BenviewNetwork.com. Or just go to our personal website, NEVpodcast.com, or send us an email, NEVpodcast@gmail.com. We're looking for your local video stores to talk about. Or find us on Twitter, at NEVpodcast. And my personal Twitter, at SameCool11. Anyone else want to talk about their Twitters?
I have an Instagram.
What's your Instagram?
Up and Adam with 2 M's. Follow that.
Adam as in your name or Adam as in an Adam?
My name.
Anatomy.
Up and Adam. Up and Adam.
That's a different Adam.
I'm at TrueValk, and you can. I've got that on Instagram and everything.
You talk a lot about video games.
I do, and I also talk about politics a little bit.
And you talk about getting your life together. You're always tweeting stuff like, people need to eat more celery. I saw that tweet the other day.
It's a lie.
Great solid celery tweet.
Yeah, that's
celery tweet.
That's what I post.
Thanks for going along with that. Thanks. Okay, so all right, it's time for guess the ending.
Here we go.
Who is first?
That would be me. I'm doing a little movie called Guardians of the Galaxy, directed by James Gunn, starring Chris Pratt, Vin Diesel, Bradley Cooper, Zoe Saldana, and Dave Bautista. Who is
not pictured here? Dave Bautista.
Also, Lee Pace.
Other
also,
Bautista.
Get the, don't spoil shit for me. Are you fucking kidding me?
Sorry, man.
Oh, this is the great. I'm gonna see the shit perhaps, out of this now.
Also, perhaps Nathan Fillion.
Oh, he's cameoing.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you guys.
That's all but confirmed.
Ah, I hate this. Oh, all of a sudden, I don't
you
like
love,
spoilers
you
anymore.
You love Lee Pace. Are you watching *Halt and Catch Fire*?
I don't even. Oh God.
He's the main character of that TV
and
show.
Who's the guy who was the voice of Wreck-It Ralph? He's in this as well.
Oh yeah.
He's in the trailer. Glenn Close. She's in the trailer.
Oh shit. Lee Pace
is in
so
a fantastic
much.
TV show
Do
called *Halt and Catch Fire*.
Do you want me to tell you who
Fire.
Lee Pace is in this film?
*Halt and Catch Fire*.
He's pretty great. Okay, Matt's having an eargasm. Let's continue.
Other Paces are available. Here we go. Here's the synopsis. In the far reaches of space, an American pilot named Peter Quill finds himself the object of a manhunt after stealing an orb coveted by the villainous Ronin. All right, here's how this is going. Mr. Peter Quill.
Peter
comes
Quill!
And he takes that orb, right? He takes it. You know what he does with it? He gets sent to prison, but you know what he has to do with that orb? He has to hide
turns out
this hunk of metal in his ass for 5 years. And he meets a young, beautiful tree named Vin Diesel. And he tells Vin, Vin, if I don't make it, tell my kids I love them. If I should die, hide this up your ass. Tell that raccoon to keep his dirty little claws off my shit. If he comes near me again, I'll stab him in the face with a soldering iron. And that's it. That's it. And he goes on. He survives that horrible place and meets up with hot young Zoe Saldana. And that's it.
Okay.
I can't do any more.
Thanks. Oh, that was pretty great. Matt, you're next. Can you pull it together? Can you get on up?
You know, I got fucked. Because of Lee Pace. And this just fucked me some more. And I don't know what to do with my life right now. Get on up! Directed by Tate Taylor. Starring Chadwick Boseman. Nelson Ellis. That's almost a tongue it is a tongue twister for me. It's my first time speaking English. Thank you. Dan Aykroyd and Viola Davis. Stop me if you heard this, or if there's any spoilers ahead, but I'm going to say it's a chronicle of James Brown's rise from extreme poverty to become one of the most influential musicians in history. Did I spoil anything thus far for anyone?
Nope.
Who's James Brown?
Okay, well, he is
musician.
The godfather of soul. Okay, and damn it. I was going to make something about him being the godfather of soul, and now I can't. We want you to be Viola Davis and Dan Aykroyd have a child together. That's Chadwick Boseman. No, wait a minute. That's Nelson Ellis. And they tell James Brown that they want him to be the godfather. They want him to be the godfather of his soul. No. Okay. So, when he's a kid, James Brown's tough for him, and his mom was always telling him, you know what? You can't let life beat you up like that. You just got to get on up. And you got to rise up against that stuff. And he does. And he does that through his music. And that makes him feel better about himself. And he's a happy guy. He's got some great hairdos throughout his life. He says some controversial things. And later he becomes a superhero who dons a cape and saves people's lives through music. And then you see him at the end of the Guardians of the Galaxy credits as the Godfather of Soul. It's a new Marvel character. I don't know.
All right.
Good job.
Thank you.
Like
sorry. It was tough. I didn't even get a chance to think about what I was going to say. It was tough to follow and act like you, Cleese, you jerk off deluxe. I love you so much.
All right, Jordan.
Lee Pace is in a TV show called Halt and Catch Fire. It's about computers during the 80s.
I don't like computers. Or the 80s.
Where they a competing company I've comes in and starts competing with IBM. Really, really good show.
You motherfucker, you got me at IBM.
Really?
Whenever I hear something about like the history of IBM,
Lee Pace,
it's so interesting.
Lee Pace is the main character.
And I'm not even joking about that. Like, I seriously find the history of IBM really interesting.
It's really good.
Okay.
You should
get on up and check it out.
I
will.
You should watch it. Yeah, it's an AMC show. So you know? Just imagine the same level of quality of Breaking Bad and Walking Dead.
And another show that Andrew let me gave to me and I haven't seen yet.
No, I got you a little bit
AMC
of Turn.
Knows
I got all you gave me all a Turn and I
Is
haven't
that the
seen
the whole
it
season?
Yet. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
I watched two episodes and I just it's hard for me to get into it.
Halt and Catch Fire has maybe the coolest intro I've seen in a TV show in a long time.
Is this your guest ending for
yes,
Calvary?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, 4 minute mile, Andrew.
Calvary, directed by John Michael McDowell.
Is that how you really say that? I've never been certain on that.
I don't care.
McDonald's.
Starring Brendan Gleeson, Chris O'Dowd, Kelly Riley, and Aidan Gillian. After he is threatened during a confession, a good-natured priest must battle the dark forces closing in around him.
So, Jordan, come on.
What?
Keep it together.
I have ADD. You need to calm down.
Squirrel!
I don't know what's going on. Oh, Jordan is now waiting for a treat from Adam, and he's
nom. All right, so.
Now Matt's getting a treat. This is the monkey house.
Make it in his mouth. Throw it in his mouth.
Oh, so close. Right off my chin.
Come on.
This is why we.
Podcast
this
here.
Is how we get ants. All right.
Ant-Man?
Yep, exactly. Don't let the yellow jacket in. So, our main guy, Brendan Gleeson, he's taking a confession. He's a good natured priest. Someone tells him that, the crazy part about this confession is someone sits in the confessional booth and says, I just murdered this entire family.
Oh, no.
Right? And he's sitting here and he's got to wrestle with his religious vows and then, you know, his adherence to like the laws of man and whether or not he should turn this person in because he recognizes the voice, right? He walks out of there and the guy who is in the booth is there waiting for him. And the man looks him right in the face and says, I just got done killing your family. Oh, and then he walks out of the church. And we, throughout the movie, find out that Brendan Gleeson comes from like one of the most prominent families in the area where he lives. They're kind of like in small country towns. They're like the royalty of the area. They own half the town and all that stuff. And he was supposed to be the next in line to kind of inherit the fortune and you know kind of lead the company that the family owns and all this stuff. But he shirked those responsibilities and became a priest. And it's the only reason he wasn't killed. Because the rest of his family is taken out. From that point on, he kind of has to wrestle with his faith because on one hand, he wants revenge. On the other, he's really in touch with God, but it's becoming a crisis of faith for him. And at the same time, he knows who killed his family. And throughout the movie, he finds out why they were murdered and kind of the underbelly, the evil underbelly of his family that he never realized was there because he left for other reasons and then his family kind of became something else in his absence. So it's kind of a drama. There's not so much action until the end, but it's him coming to terms with who he is as a person, who he is compared to God, but what he also needs to do right by the family that he left and how to get them justice.
That'd be a good movie.
Justice.
All right, we're in.
Is he a sort of a machine gun preacher at the end?
No.
Or is he kind of more like a... God, was that one? Oop. Nope.
Are you thinking of none of that?
No, who's that? Who's that old guy who does movies and he did that movie named after the car? Gran Torino. Is it Clint kind of
Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, Clint Eastwood at the end of Gran Torino?
No, no, it's more like...
Did he kill him with kindness?
It's more like Paul Bettany's performance in Priest.
Oh. Well, okay.
Where he kills a whole bunch of vampires.
Okay. Cool. That's what? His family secret, vampires?
What?
Okay, so... I've got...
Twist!
A limited what release film called 4 Minute Mile. Directed by Charles Olivier Michaud. Starring Annalie Tipton. Oh, we just saw her. Mm-hmm. Cam Gigante. Kim Basinger, and Ricardo Jenkins. A former track coach decides to train a student with natural athletic talent. Tragedy strikes right before the biggest race of his life, forcing him to confront everything that has been holding him back. You know, it's weird. There's like a vague hymn going on here, but here's how I read it. Just work with me here.
I'll work it with you.
So the former track coach is Richard Jenkins. And Annalie Tipton is the natural athletic talent student. He's working with her, getting her going. But then the tragedy that strikes him.
Whoa. He's what with her?
Working with her.
And getting what?
Getting her ready to run. Yeah. I don't know what the hell I said.
My goodness.
Ready to run.
Getting her going.
Anyway, because he's retired. He's a former track coach. But the tragedy that strikes right before the biggest race of his life is that the reason why he's a former track coach is because the town that he came from thought that he had an inappropriate relationship with a student. They never found this out where he moved to.
Ooh.
They just knew that he was a track coach. And so that's the tragedy that strikes. The revelation comes out. One of his, Kim Basinger, she moves from his old town to the new town.
Basinger.
And Basinger. And she moves from the old town to the new town.
She's a Basinger?
Yeah. And she's a singer. And she comes into town and she goes, I remember you, you. We're the guy who touched the kid.
So this is like a True Blood thing.
This is like Nebraska.
Do they touch children in True Blood?
No, but there's a guy who's a murderer in another town. He goes to another town.
Well, he's not a murderer. They think he touched.
He murders people's innocence.
So, but they think he did. He's innocent. He's completely innocent. But he can't shake this, and so that's the tragedy.
Just keeps following him around.
And it's right before the biggest race. So Annalie Tipton is like, I can't believe. You were training me. I trusted you. I'm not going to do this race. And he's like, you have a natural talent. She's like, I bet you say that to all your students. God. And so she's not going to do the run. And then finally, Cam Gigante is the student who said that he touched him. It comes out. He says, you know, I was a kid and I wanted attention. And I thought this was the way to do it. So then the truth comes out. The girl runs the race and wins. It's a great
And
tale.
Then several years later, they get married.
Well,
you know, that's unrelated, but sure. That's 8 Minute Mile. Exactly, that's the sequel. That's actually exactly how it happens.
How fast was their mile time?
You know, it was actually 3:59, but that was a weird title, so they went for 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it just rolls off the tongue.
It just rolled off the tongue. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if any of those endings are correct, you know, let us know. AnyVPodcast@gmail.com. I'm sure
Which
they are.
They are.
Yeah.
They always are.
We're pretty good at guessing these endings. Mm-hmm.
I've already seen Get On Up.
I'm 100% correct on every guess the ending I've ever done.
Yeah.
I believe you have a 1,000%.
But it's
percentage.
Only because Christopher Walken steps in and does it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
and your damn eraser head hair.
All right. So next week we'll be reviewing Guardians of the Galaxy.
Who's going to be on that one?
It'll be, well, Jordan taking a week off.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Jordan.
I've got some stuff to do. I'm going to 100% see the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be very interested to listen to the show.
Yeah. But we will be having Matt Benson and David King.
Ooh.
And they will be here, and they will be excited.
I won't be here.
Yep. So anyway, please come back and give a listen to that review or that episode next week. Until next time, this has been episode 194 of Nerd's Eye View. I'm Andrew.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Jordan.
And I'm Adam.
Oh, Ricky!
87.
Is Little Richard still alive?
According to Wikipedia, Little Richard is still alive.
I like how happy she sounded.
She's stoked. Fast Domino is 86. Jerry Lee Lewis, 78.
Fast Domino?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.